that intensity. Let's go. Let's go.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Disco, disco, disco. I am going to Mount Kisco. I am going to buy Crisco to bake a cake so I can disco, disco, disco. Disco, disco, disco. How long are you staying?
And now.
Attention, everyone. This is an emergency broadcast. The unpleasant noise you are about to hear coming from your radio is not a mistake.
Our feature presentation.
Well, probably will be a mistake, but...
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Come on.
Where was that song from, Bean? I forgot that disco song.
I believe it was from a collection of song poem albums, which was a popular trend in the 60s around the world, where you would send lyrics in and, quote-unquote, professional musicians would set them to music and send it back a record.
Disco, disco, disco.
So somebody wrote that and sent it in. Yeah. Somebody wrote that and sent it in, and that's the record. And then they've become quite popular with the hipsters over the years. And there are several volumes of compilations of those that have been released for people to pretty much essentially just make fun of.
So basically, I write a poem, then they make it into a song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because lots of people think, hey, I can write a song, but they don't have access to any kind of studio or equipment or musicians or arrangers or anything like that.
So talent.
Or maybe your talent. So you pay a fee and they set your words to music. It's a pretty good idea if you get in bed with the right people. I mean, it's not really that much different than what, you know, Rebecca Black's parents paying for her to go deal with professional musicians for them to make a song on her.
True. Yeah, I guess, but then they wrote it. So
right,
it's not
exactly.
Even her words, you know.
Right. Well, I'm just saying it's in the same vein of, hey, I'm just a nobody. How can I make a hit record?
So, that was a sweet record. We should start spinning it, yo.
I'm sad that one didn't catch fire and make it and become a hit.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show, and it's an only program for a Monday morning.
Lisa, did you see Super 8?
I didn't. I actually ended up going to see Hangover 2.
Oh.
I'm a little behind.
Wow, a little behind. You got to catch up.
A little behind. Yeah. How was it? Did you see it, Kevin?
No, I didn't see
it. Did.
Are you kidding me?
No, I knew
you
didn't.
Oh, man. B,
you
I'm
were
going to
go
you right in the face.
The midnight showing.
On Thursday.
On Thursday.
And that's how much I want
to
see it.
The whole weekend you didn't get to.
We're going to have to put some kind of rules into effect that Bean can't waste our time.
I'm not allowed to want to go see movies anymore?
Yeah, you're perfectly allowed to want to, but you can't talk about it for hours and hours and hours and then not go.
I really wanted to go.
That's great. We don't want to hear about it unless you're actually gonna go.
How was it, Kevin?
It was good. I liked it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Was it awesome?
I'm looking forward to it.
Was it just good?
Was it awesome? If E.T. never existed, it would be 9. Yeah. Now it's 7.5.
That's kind of what I heard out of the reviews as well.
Yeah.
But I liked it. I thought it was really good.
Yeah. And the kids, apparently, right? The
kids are fantastic.
Isn't that something?
Oh, the little girl. What's her name?
Elle Taylor.
Elle Fanning.
Yeah. She's 30. I don't know.
Well, that whole family's like
that.
No, but I mean, she's playing a kid, you know, the same age pretty much as the other kids that are making the movie, maybe a year or two older. And I don't know. She's chain smoking. She's she's got a walker. I don't know what's going on.
She might be pregnant.
It was a weird casting thing, but she was great in it.
Yeah. She's a good actress.
I just kept thinking, wow, she sure is older than them.
Well, Ralph will talk more about Super 8 and the movies at the box office over the weekend. Let me get you guys started with a couple of piercing stories that are in the news. Two different stories of people into extreme body piercing in the news. One is, and this just happened this past week, a woman in Las Vegas. She is billed as a Las Vegas performer. I don't know what she does, but they say she performs in shows across the strip. Her name is Stacia Randall. She decided, and tell me if this is a record you would ever go for, that she wanted to get in the Guinness Book of World Records for the most piercings in one sitting.
Oh, God, no.
No, that sounds like a nightmare to me.
What do you suppose the record was, by the way, before Miss Randall got involved?
You're not seeing the most piercings, but you're seeing the most piercings at one sitting.
That's right.
I don't know. Maybe 6, 7?
7? All right. Lisa, what do you think?
Well, I'm thinking you could do, like, I don't know, 7 on each ear.
Oh, true.
14. I'm going to say 20.
Of course, we're talking about the whole body. It doesn't just have to be on ears. It's piercings. Okay,
all right,
you say
30.
20.
All right, 9 million.
How about you, Beerma? What's your guess?
Yes, the whole body taken into consideration, I'd probably say over 50, maybe.
50?
Jeez.
Wow. Okay, well, the previous record for the most body piercings in one sitting was 3,100.
What?
Wow. And that's the record that she decided she was going to beat. And she did. She got 3,200 in one sitting. Now, her plan was to get 3,600, but she decided after 3,200 she'd had enough, so she quit.
Oh,
yeah,
my
there's
God.
Pictures of her laying on a table, and they take needles and they put them right through her skin, one right after another.
Oh, man, that's my nightmare.
3,200 in one sitting. So that's what she did with her week.
Those?
This was in Las Vegas.
What do you mean,
where were those?
Body.
Everywhere. But they have to be everywhere.
All up and down her arms and legs and back. And
I hate to tell you this. We're going to have to go to the forehead. No!
Yeah, that was at Intoxicated Tattoos in Las Vegas, by the way. So that's piercing story number one. So
that's where you have to be intoxicated to get it in?
No, that's just the name of the place is intoxicated. Mm. The world's most body-pierced woman weds in Scotland is my next story. Her name is Elaine Davidson. Now, you've heard that the previous story, the woman got 3,200 piercings at one time.
One second.
How many piercings do you think now the most pierced person in the world has? Because that woman got married.
5,000?
7,000.
Oh, what? Come on. Isn't it just a pincushion?
Yes,
wow.
You are basically a pincushion. Exactly, yeah. So she got married. She found, I mean, look, there's somebody for everybody
How
out there.
Did she, wow, that's weird.
Can
that's,
you imagine going to the airport?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's the human tackle box.
You're going to have to take all that off.
What?
I'll be here forever.
She is in the Guinness World Records as the most piercings.
I'd like to suggest that being in the Guinness book, not the end all and be all. Really?
Yeah. There may be other things you could do.
Yeah.
And she has been for a long time, by the way. She first got in the Guinness Book of World Records when she had just 462 piercings.
Oh.
Now she's got 7,000.
She's a delicate little flower.
She just hasn't beaten around.
Can you imagine?
Yeah. And she found a husband, Guy, and her husband has no piercings. So
wow.
It's amazing that they have something in common.
Does her husband wear a helmet? By any stretch and ride on a short bus?
It doesn't say that here, but how could you even see her face? I mean, she's got them all over her face, too, in all different colors.
Jeez.
So, anyway, so good times,
Mom,
right?
I'd like you to meet someone. Now, I know upon first view, she's going to look, you know, maybe like she has a few too many piercings.
Right.
That's a tough call right there.
Good times.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Abicho Show, shall we?
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Lick her bare neck than I would her boobs with a sweater over them.
That's a toss-up.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Really? That's how it's going to start?
Once again, Kevin and Bean listeners are the ones who sent us that. Damn As usual, listeners. We missed it because we don't hear it anymore.
Damn you, listeners.
We don't hear it anymore. What's wrong with us? How can magic like that happen and we're missing it?
I don't know. It's so sad.
That's a good one, right?
Yeah, it's great.
Sure. I love it. I want to take it home with me. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show now. Anyone?
That was it.
Andrew Siciliano is going to be coming in talking about sports. Very excited about that.
With those hands rubbing together?
He was tweeting. Yeah. I was scratching. He was tweeting up until well after 1 a.m., by the way. So I don't know what kind of shape he's going to be in when he comes
Sweet. He's always good, though, isn't he? Don't you get the idea that he could stay up all night or or sleep for 2 days straight? He'd still be right on it.
He's a professional.
Sort of like me.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Bean's Death Corner?
Yeah. Good one this time.
Program today? You knew your wedding was a mistake. Maybe, and at the last moment, too, that's the killer. Like, when you're walking up the aisle or, you know, whatever, you're standing there and... You know, the priest or the judge or the pastor or whoever's, you know, leading you through it, you're going, I shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't bother
you look over and your fiance has 7,000 piercings.
Yeah. Yeah. No wonder she didn't ever let you see most of her. So we got that today. We have, did I mention Harvey Levin?
Mm-mm.
No.
Got Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Mm-hmm. We have some highlights of Repo Games.
Love
Excellent.
It.
Excellent.
Best thing ever. Can't wait to
playing for you. I have. I don't know. I have maybe 4 episodes now. That's
really?
The best show.
I haven't even watched it yet, but I sure love your recap.
Oh, it's so great. That's where they repossess your car, and then they ask you trivia questions. And if you get 3 out of 5 of the trivia questions right, they will not only not tow your car away, they'll pay it off.
That is so awesome.
Yeah. So it's unbelievable. And Rocky, the musical?
Yeah.
What? So we'll tell you about that this morning. And I don't know if you heard late in the show on Friday, but we had the guys from Blink 182 stop by.
Yes.
So we'll give you some highlights of that coming up as well. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Hey, party people. Hope you had a great weekend. Thanks for tuning in to a Monday Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph, how are you, man? You had a very busy weekend.
It was crazy, but it was good.
How was Playboy Mansion Friday?
Oh, it's just the best. Playboy Mansion is one of the few places in the world that is exactly what you think it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
There's very few experiences like that. Usually you get disappointed or you say, well, this isn't what I expected. If you hear the words Playboy Mansion and you go there, it is exactly as you think it was going to be.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's just...
Did you try to stay, like, every time in the security?
I always bring a snorkel, then I go into the grotto and just try to stay under, and I breathe underwater for as long as possible. But they've got security cameras now. They know what to look for. So yeah. it was a great party. Yeah.
Was your dad there?
Hef was inside the house. It was movie night. So he was watching Charade starring Cary Grant. He didn't step outside of the party so much. He was watching old movies with a couple of his friends, including his fiance. You know, they get married this weekend up at the mansion.
Oh, so. Wow.
You still waiting on my invitation. I'm sure it's going to be hand-delivered sometime this week, I'm assuming.
I would assume the same. I think that's pretty smart.
Yeah.
How was it? You've been there several times before. What was it like through the eyes of the Kevin and Bean listener who won the prize from you last week to go with you?
Yeah, they were wide-eyed, to say the least.
Sure. The first time you go, it's just it's just like you're in heaven.
And they've got the bunnies, the playmates, who will give you the tour of the grounds and the house and stuff.
Yeah.
So the playmates were there, and they were doing guided tours, and I was watching the listeners come back, and they'd just seen the monkey cage. They'd just seen the mini zoo Hef's got on the grounds, and they were just looking around, staring at everything in wide-eyed wonder. It was kind of adorable to see the kids get a kick out of it. Because I was thinking, I was there with my wife, and I said, between Playboy Television, I started working for them about when I first started doing this show. It's like a dozen years I've been going up to the mansion now on a semi-regular basis.
Still love it.
Still love it. I never get enough. It's like Disneyland. I still enjoy going. So yeah.
Would you go again tonight if you could?
Of course. Of course, it's Disneyland for adults. It's always a good time. So, yeah, thanks for having me up there, folks. And then we did Hollywood Babylon with John Lovitz on Saturday night. And then yesterday with my folks celebrating Father's Day because I couldn't get together with my family next weekend for official Father's Day. So we did that instead. So it was a very busy weekend, and I am tired. However, I was concerned in the other room in the office. There's talk that Kevin was sending emails this morning at around 1 a.m.
Yeah, I was. Yeah.
That means you weren't sleeping at 1 a.m.
Either that or I was doing it in my sleep. Yeah. No.
We can't afford that. We can't afford to have you up and
sleep.
Sending emails at 1 a.m. when you have to be here on the radio talking.
What do you want me to do? I'm just laying there. I might as well be productive.
No. Take a drug. Dude, hit yourself in the head with a ball peen hammer. Whatever you need to do to be unconscious.
Yeah, it wasn't ideal.
Because you're useless to us when you don't get a couple
hours
sleep.
How dare you? I'm as sharp as ever.
The equivalent of a parent who insists on lights out. And will
exactly right, yes. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. We do it every Monday morning. Super 8, no surprise, was expected to be number one, and it was $37 million in its debut weekend. X-Men First Class was number two at the box office with $25 million. And Lisa gave The Hangover Part 2 her money, and that came in at number three, $18.5 million. Kung Fu Panda 2 was fourth. Pirates of the Caribbean 4 was fifth. Bridesmaids, Judy Moody and the Nut Bumper Summer was seventh. Midnight in Paris, Thor, and Fast 5 were rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. A lot of celebrity sickbay news. Clarence Clemens, the big man, the sax player for Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band, has suffered a stroke.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Reportedly, he is seriously ill at 69 years old and in the hospital, and things don't look good for the big man.
Wow.
Yeah, that's terrible.
So that's sad news for Springsteen fans.
And I didn't realize until I saw the articles on this how many other health problems he's had, and he's getting around on crutches, he's got trouble with his hands, he's just a mess right now.
It's too big. Big man's too big. Big men don't age well.
He's too big man.
That's right. Speaking of the big, Jennifer Hudson. She used to be big.
Not anymore.
She looks good.
She came down with a nasty bit of food poisoning this weekend, and she had to be hospitalized for excruciating stomach pains. And, you know, what are the rest of the stuff that happens when you have food poisoning.
Yeah, that totally sucks, but it's also a good weight loss program.
It is. It's part of her weight loss program. I think she lost 15 pounds Friday.
So she's in good shape. By the way, Ralph, I know you don't think much of Beer Mug, none of us do, but I found out last week.
Don't give my opinion of Beer Mug as if it's your own. I'm a big fan of Beer Mug.
Thank you,
come on, even if you haven't said it, we all know how we all feel.
I wouldn't go that far, but go ahead.
He said last week, we were having a conversation, I was pointing out how beautiful Jennifer Hudson was. She was on, I think, the Good Morning America doing a concert last week, and she looked amazing because she's so pretty. Mug's not into her at all. Would not do her a favor, as he described it.
Really?
Can Mugs afford to turn down Jennifer Hudson?
Well, no, that goes without saying. But I can see his point. I don't think she's that beautiful.
I think she
looks considerably better now that she's lost the weight, don't get me wrong. But I don't think she's...
But how hot does a chick have to be for Mugs to have sex with?
No, of course. I understand what you're saying, but yeah.
I'd do her a favor.
You would?
It wouldn't be a favor for her, but you'd do a favor for me.
You're a sport. Selena Gomez was also rushed to the hospital last week after appearing on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. Well, there's your problem right there.
Yep.
Leno makes me sick, too. She had to cancel an event Friday at a mall in Santa Monica to promote her new movie, Monte Carlo. Everybody wins here, I think, in this story. She apparently was nauseous, had very bad headaches. She had to go in and undergo tests, and doctors still can't figure out what's wrong with her. Well, it's the Bieber seed. That's the problem. That's what the problem is right
there. Certainly could be.
There are rumors flying around that she's pregnant with Justin's child, because she spent so much time in the hospital. Jack White doesn't do anything the normal way.
No.
He is unique.
He's a genius, but he can't do things normally.
Jack White and his wife Karen spent their 6th wedding anniversary in an unusual way last week. They sent out invitations to all their friends and family to a big bash to celebrate their anniversary and announced their upcoming divorce.
Yay!
What?
Had a big party, got everybody together. Said we've been together for 6 years and we just wanted to let you all know we're getting divorced. But we want to do it in a positive, swing-bang-humdinger way.
That's the strangest thing I've ever heard.
That's what I'm saying. Party was held in Nashville. Everyone enjoyed a night of dancing, photographs, memories, cocktails.
Wow.
What's the reason for the split? Do we know that?
No reason was given for the divorce. Karen and Jack have 2 children together. And I guess it's just over.
Is he going to go back and marry his sister again?
Beefy the drummer? I don't know. And speaking of marriage, some people believe it can still work. Lily Allen, British pop star Lily Allen, got married on Saturday to her new husband, Sam Cooper. And they revealed at their wedding that Lily is pregnant again. She has suffered 2 miscarriages so far, but... she's hoping a 3rd time's a charm, so they announced their pending baby at their wedding. Everybody's announcing stuff at different kind of occasions these days. Just pick one. Stick with it. Kevin, I know you were watching the Tony Awards last night, the 65th annual Tony Awards last night.
Tony Awards were on?
The awards they give out to Broadway plays and musicals in celebration of the theater.
That's not really my scene.
And awards were given out in 14 nominations to people no one's heard of and no one cares about.
All right.
Just wanted to give you that.
Wait till Rocky the Musical comes out. It's going to clean up.
However, Trey Parker and Matt Stone did win.
Oh, good.
For best score for a Broadway musical. So, for Book of Mormon. And so, you know, that's something we know.
I was tempted to tune in just for a minute near the end of the show because I thought how funny their acceptance speech was probably going to be. But I didn't.
They gave them the award off air. They showed a clip of them receiving the award.
Really?
Yeah. And they said their acceptance speech wasn't that funny. It was
how much
kinda
sense
heartfelt.
Does that make? Isn't that the biggest award, the best musical or whatever?
No. They won for best score.
Best score. Not best musical, but
yeah,
you'd think they would do everything they could to get them up there.
Wow,
that's weird.
I did tune in just at the beginning for the big opening number. Neil Patrick Harris was the host of the show. So I watched for that. And
he seems like he's a good host.
A big song and dance number called Broadway, It's Not Just for Gays Anymore. And it was actually true? Very funny. Yeah, it was a very funny routine.
That's funny.
They did a good job. And I said, you guys are trying really hard to make me watch the show. I appreciate it. Click. And then I watched something.
And you went somewhere else.
The basketball game was on, so what could you do?
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays, Siegfried of Siegfried and Roy, 72 years old today. Happy birthday, Siegfried.
Now, he's the one who's tiger-free, right?
He is sans tiger.
Tiger.
Malcolm McDowell is 68 years old today. Very talented British actor who's very funny on the new TNT series Franklin and Bash. You can check him out on that. He's very good. Tim Allen is 58 years old. Rivers Cuomo celebrates his 41st birthday. Steve-O is 37. Actor Ethan Embry celebrates his 33rd birthday. Chris Evans, Captain America, is 30 years old. The Olsen twins, Ashley and Mary-Kate, are 25. And actress Kat Dennings is also 25 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 6:38.
So the Dallas Mavericks took their talents to South Beach and came away with an NBA championship. Andrew Siciliano will be in coming up after the top of the hour to talk about that and everything going on in sports here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, Harvey Levin from TMZ.com later, too. By the way, let me tell you who is delighted about this Anthony Weiner scandal. Let me tell you who's loving it and wants it to never end is Arnold Schwarzenegger. Because hasn't he kind of fallen off the front pages since Representative Weiner started taking off his clothes?
Oh, yeah.
Arnold was all the talk there for a while. It seems like he's been a little bit more low-key. In fact, there were some rumors last week that he met with Tom Arnold. They had lunch together in Beverly Hills to start talking about whether they wanted to do True Lies 2 together. So maybe he'll be going back to work sooner than we thought just to kind of give people something else to talk about other than all the women he's hitting on.
Well, news stories are still coming out. I don't know if you're following that closely, but, you know, we thought that Arnold had this reputation for a long time, and then it came out he was having sex with his nanny, and it was his housekeeper.
Yeah, his housekeeper.
And we said, oh, no, the floodgates are about to open. Well, somebody else has come forward now. And it's one of the stars of So You Think You Can Dance. Her makeup person, apparently, was in an elevator with Arnold. And that's not where you want to be.
Ever.
Because it's a closed environment, and it's Arnold. But we thought we'd talk to him today, kind of get his side of the story, and just see how things are going. Arnold Schwarzenegger?
702, 703.
Do you just start?
704.
Do you start with 702 when we call?
705. Oh, whew, I'm exhausted.
How many did you really do there, Arnold?
I wasn't lifting weights. I was doing something else.
Those are women you were hitting on. Well, listen, So You Think You Can Dance Judge Mary Murphy. You know her, Arnold, right? She's the really annoying
one. Obnoxious.
Yeah.
Laughing. I would not hit on that, no.
And that voice. No, but her story that she told Joy Behar on her show the other day.
Another person I wouldn't hit on.
Yeah. Nope.
Joy Behar, disgusting.
Right. You were apparently in an elevator, though, with Mary Murphy's makeup person. And the report was you tried to hit on her in the few seconds that you guys were riding in an elevator together. Is that
true? You have to seize the opportunity when you see it. So I could tell she wanted me, so I just, opened the conversation, allowed her to express her true feelings.
So is it true, according to the article, you got on the elevator with her, and it was just you two, and your first words were, do you want to kiss me?
Yeah, yes.
Does that ever work?
Do you want to kiss me?
No.
You do, secretly, you do want to.
But I mean, you'd never met this girl before.
No.
You literally had been together for 2 seconds when you asked her if she wanted to kiss you.
Yeah, but I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger.
You are.
Come on.
Right.
She knows who I am. She wants it. She wants these amazing pecs.
What?
She wants these delts, these buys.
She could know who you are and still not want the buys.
You can't not want me. Look at me. I want me. Right now, how about I am in the gym all the time looking at myself in the mirror? It's like I'm expressing myself all the time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
which you are as well.
You do want you.
So is this one of thousands that are going to come out? Or this?
Well, that woman, we didn't have sex. She left the elevator.
You allowed that?
So I had sex with the elevator instead. The elevator wanted me.
I'm pretty sure I can speak for the elevator when I say no, it didn't.
No, it did. It was very satisfied after I was done with it.
Is that right?
After I violated its shaft.
Okay.
Elevator shaft.
Right, we know what you mean. Sure.
What do you think an elevator travels up and down in?
Bean.
Elevator shaft.
That's elevator right. shaft. Okay, that's fine. So Barry Murphy
be
says,
"Careful, because I'm a scaredy man. I'm a little girly boy."
Can you imagine on a daily basis how many women he's hit on? This is somebody he'd never seen before, is what Mary Murphy says. And yeah. I guess that's a really good point. I mean, if you did this one time and you also impregnated the housekeeper, who knows how many other women are out there that you fooled around with or tried to while you were married?
Yeah, women, elevators, automobiles, golf courses.
You had sex? What? How do you have sex with a golf course?
I get a hole in one. Sorry. Put one in hole. Sorry,
dumb question.
Yeah. That's hot.
Andrew Siciliano coming up next here on the Kevin and Bean Show. After the top of the hour, plus next hour, we'll have Adam Carolla tickets to see him live. How about that at the San Manuel Indian Bingo and Casino? That's all on the way for the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Monday. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Well, there's a rapist up in Linkin Park.
What?
No. Britney Spears has new music that's been leaked on the internet.
You mean apart from her album that's out?
Yes. This
Tell
is something that is covert Ooh. And secretive. Every time she goes out on tour, apparently, she picks a cover song that she performs. Okay. Last tour, it was You Ought to Know by Alanis Morissette.
Mm-hmm. All right.
This time around, apparently, it is Madonna's Burning Up. Remember Burning Up for Your Love by Madonna?
Great song.
Yeah, kind of disco-y, right?
Yeah, here's Britney's cover version of it. But you don't even know. Same, right?
Yeah, pretty faithful to the original, so what's the
pretty,
point, right?
Pretty karaoke.
Sure.
Yeah. I don't hate when she goes, she has all that fake stuff. It's just, I don't buy it. Nobody does. You're not sexy. You're just trashy.
She used to be sexy.
She used to, until we found out about her, until we got to know her.
Yeah.
Now we know it's all put on.
Right.
In related music news, by the way, Barry Manilow's got a new album.
Why would you say that?
Because it's inspired by Britney Spears's very public and personal meltdown back in 2007. It's a theme album called 15 Minutes about her very difficult situation she went through
yeah.
in 2007. Why so soon, Barry Manilow? Cranking out this epic.
Almost too fast.
This rock opera dedicated to Britney Spears and her mental breakdown.
He almost put this out before she had the mental breakdown.
It's scary. It's as if he could anticipate it.
He was in the middle of doing those cover albums, those decades theme albums,
mm-hmm.
so he couldn't do this project then, so uh-huh. he just held on to it.
15 Minutes will be in stores tomorrow. Barry warns, it's a rock album.
Uh-oh.
So if you're expecting more of Barry's sweet-sounding standards, you're in for a shock.
Really?
It's a rock album.
How rock can he
Barry
be?
Barry rocks on this album.
How much can he rock?
Oh, when's he going to die?
Seriously.
How dare you?
When
How dare
die?
You?
When will he just die?
I pre-ordered my copy from QVC because there's a bonus disc with additional songs on it.
It's a boner disc. Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. We take a look every Monday morning. Super 8, number one at the box office. $37 million in its debut. Kevin, you saw it? You liked
yes,
it?
Yes, I liked it a lot.
I heard you mention this morning that you thought Elle Fanning was older than everyone else in the cast.
She looked older to me.
Really?
Yeah, she looked like, well, not only was she big, taller, and bigger, but she looked like she was 3 or 4 years older, almost.
She's 13. The rest of the cast.
Either she's a big 13 or they're small 13s. I don't know. She just looked like maybe she was a couple of grades ahead.
You were saying this morning she was 30. I was like, oh, my goodness.
Exaggerating a little bit. But.
Yeah. X-Men First Class, number two at the box office. Hangover 2 was third. Then Kung Fu Panda 2.
Hey!
Pirates of the Caribbean 4. And then Bridesmaids, finally, a movie without a number behind it. Judy Moody and the Not Bummer Summer was 7th, Midnight in Paris, Thor, and Fast 5, running out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. While we're talking movies, did anyone see the Spike TV Guy's Choice Awards on Friday?
Oh, no, I taped it, but I didn't have time to watch it yet.
Well, Kevin, you'll be very happy to know that they had a reunion of the cast of Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Really?
Yes.
Without Sean Penn?
Sean Penn was the main guy who brought everyone up on stage when they accepted their award.
Yes, Mr. Sean Penn doesn't have a sense of humor. Wrong, Kevin. Wrong, sir.
Wow.
This is pretty shocking that he would even acknowledge that he was ever in that movie. Yes. Playing Spicoli.
Martha Coolidge, the director, was there. Cameron Crowe, the screenwriter, he was there. All the guys from the cast were there. None of the ladies showed up for the reunion.
Not getting
no Phoebe Cates.
No Phoebe Cates. No, what's the chick with three names who was also in it?
Yeah.
Can't think of it. Anyway, Robert De Niro was the host for that segment to bring him up on stage. And De Niro and Penn are very good friends.
Sure.
So he was the spokesperson for the cast. He got up and accepted the award on behalf of the cast and thanked everyone.
How about that?
He was participating in the Fast Times reunion.
Did he do it as Spicoli? No way.
Here's the acceptance speech.
I'm sorry that the actresses aren't here tonight, but I feel that the men here represent that and that now our breasts are larger than theirs. And it is a kind of full circle-ness because I know that Mr. De Niro is a large part of the reason many of us in this film became actors. So thank you for being here and doing this tonight. And finally, aloha, Mr. Hand.
No.
Aloha, Mr. Hand.
How about
way.
That?
You did it all Spicoli.
See?
I was just ahead of my time.
That's what you are.
Right.
That's what you are, is ahead of your time.
Maybe Kevin inspired him. Maybe Sean Penn wouldn't have done it unless Kevin had suggested he start doing a little bit more Spicoli to make things entertaining.
You're all welcome. I think all these things are true. I believe all of these things to be the case. I've got passes to give away to the very special Kevin and Bean advanced screening of Bad Teacher. This happens on the Sony Pictures lot Thursday, June the 23rd. The movie's in theaters everywhere Friday, June the 24th. If you'd like to go, the first five callers who can get through right now, 1-800-520-1067. If you get through and say hi to Chip, she will give you a pair of passes to go see Bad Teacher starring Cameron Diaz and Justin Timberlake. You know, this movie, you can see Cameron Diaz looks like a drunken, slutty teacher, which is good.
Which is good.
And Justin Timberlake mm-hmm. is apparently like the nerdy guy in school. I was like, oh, come on. He's like the handsome, super talented Justin Timberlake. We're supposed to buy that. I think they do put glasses on him, though. So.
Oh, okay. Nerd him up?
He's got to be a nerd. And Blake Lively. Those nude photos just aren't going away. The ones that were leaked on the internet from her iPhone.
Not going away at my house, I'll tell you that.
Had some experts take a look, and they are comparing the freckles on her chest now to the freckles of the woman in those photos. And Star Magazine says, without a doubt, they can identify that it is indeed the same woman in the photographs, regardless of what Blake Lively's representatives say. They've been denying that it's her for some time.
Sure.
So now we have official scientific proof.
Hey, we had that with Mr. Skin. As far as I'm concerned, he did the early research.
And I agree with Kevin. If you look like that, you come out on day one and say, don't I look fantastic?
Yes.
Even if it's not I would come out and say, that's me. Don't I look good?
I'm hot. Worship at my altar. And congratulations to Metallica. They've now got their own Monopoly game.
Really?
Only one of four bands that have ever been monopolized. Monopoly Metallica is now available. You can pick it up on the band's official website later this week. They joined the Beatles, the Grateful Dead, and Kiss are the only bands who have ever had a Monopoly game specially designed and marketed for them.
I've not seen these. Are the places you land their song titles?
Yeah, it's all the theme is all the Metallica's music and stuff, and they put that instead of the Atlantic City properties and stuff on the board, so you can check it out. And also congratulations to legendary rock band Lynyrd Skynyrd. The Excalibur Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas is opening a Lynyrd Skynyrd-themed barbecue restaurant. Because nothing says good luck gamblers like a band that was wiped out in a plane crash. So I think they're hoping some of that good luck will rub off on some of the gamers in Vegas. So congratulations to those guys. What the hell are they thinking?
Good choice.
Come on into the dead guy restaurant where everybody crashed and died. Have some ribs. Today's celebrity birthdays. Malcolm McDowell, very talented actor, is 68. Tim Allen is 58. Rivers Cuomo is 41. Steve-O celebrates his 37th birthday. Did any of us think Steve-O would ever get to 37?
We didn't, and I'm really happy.
I know I didn't. Ethan Embry is 33. Chris Evans, Captain America, is 30 years old. Have you seen any of the trailer for Captain America First Avenger?
I saw it yesterday before Super 8.
The special effects they used to make Chris Evans scrawny and short in that film before he becomes Captain America are unnerving.
He really
are disturbing.
It's 100. It looks like it is him.
You'd never know it wasn't a. He wasn't a real deal.
Little.
He's short too. He's short. Yeah. And super thin. He's got a big head.
But
looks like Kevin. If Kevin was short and thin,
and good looking. Did you notice though that when they close the thing and they turn him into Captain America that he comes out immediately tanned?
Oh yeah, he's buff, tanned, hot. Yeah.
They tan him.
It's the magic of comic books, man.
Why would you go that far?
He's 30 years old. Ashley and Mary-Kate Olsen are 25, and actress Kat Dennings celebrates her 25th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You are listening to the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 6 minutes after 7 o'clock.
I am always excited to see our next guest. Joining us in studio, Mr. Andrew Siciliano is here. Of course, he's the host of The Final Score, airing on Fox Sports Net this week, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And if there were such a thing as professional football, you would also see him on DirecTV, the Red Zone channel.
Shut up. There will be.
Jimmy's cousin Sal tweeted last night after the basketball game. He's like, well, the NBA's over, but at least we've got football to look forward to in a mere 16 months.
Shut up. Good morning, guys.
Andrew, great to see you. Now, am I a bad person for being delighted to think about how miserable LeBron James is this morning?
No, but don't you have to get back to your crappy life this morning?
Yeah, LeBron.
I mean, really,
what are you doing?
How crappy is your life?
He's still LeBron Bean, and you're still Bean.
I'm still rich, and you still have a crappy life.
Was this the press conference after the game?
It was after the game. No, let's set it up. Obviously, you guys know.
People
hate the heat here. Some people hate the heat. It wasn't an unfair question, and I don't think he gave an unfair answer. I think it's a classic example of an athlete that's used to speaking in the third person, that's used to including the word myself in every sentence, even though the grammar doesn't necessarily fit. But this is what he said last night after the game, after Dirk runs off and cries and Mark Cuban's got his stogie and his Larry O'Brien trophy and everyone's dancing and celebrating. And he's up there on the podium with Dwayne Wade, and it went like this.
Does it bother you that so many people are happy to see you fail?
Absolutely not. Because at the end of the day, all the people that was rooting on me to fail, you know, at the end of the day, they got to wake up tomorrow and have the same life that they had before they woke up today. You know, they got the same personal problems that they had today, you know, and I'm going to continue to live the way I want to live and continue to do the things that I want to do with me and my family and be happy with that. So, you know, they can get a few days or a few months or whatever the case may be on being happy about not only myself, but the Miami Heat not accomplishing their goal. But, you know, they got to get back to the real world at some point.
I'm still rich, and y'all still suck.
Pretty much.
Exactly. That's what he said.
That's awesome.
By the way, That's a crappy thing to say.
That's awesome.
Having said that,
yeah,
he got that all season.
He's not going to stop hearing it either.
I know. I'm just saying, like, after a full year of that, you got to be pretty tired of it. It would be difficult to be an athlete who could just shrug that
off.
Well,
because he put himself in the position to be set up with. The only acceptable outcome for this move is to win a championship, and if we don't, I'm a failure. I mean, basically, he set that up for us the way he went down to Miami.
And did you hear? He threw a new phrase in there. I'm a guy that doesn't say hating on because hate doesn't need a preposition. I think it's an idiotic phrase,
right?
But did you hear? He used the phrase "was rooting on me." Did you hear that?
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
They were rooting on me. Yeah. Well, I don't know what that means.
Well, it certainly was against him, I think, is what he's talking about.
I think that's what that means. Yeah. It's going to get worse. Because this was, well, first of all, from a pure basketball perspective, this was the one year where if the rest of the league wanted to win a championship, you had to do it now. Because the Heat's going to get better next year. They're going to add something in the middle.
They're going to
be 1 year older and wiser. They're going to be, you thought they were good this year.
Yeah.
They're going to be hopefully for them, unbeatable next year.
That's why I wanted Dallas to win this year is because I figured Miami's going to get another three or four coming up here. You know what I mean? They're going to do it. They're going to be fine.
I don't want to get overly religious. Because I don't think religion and basketball work here. But he's a false prophet. That's why people rail against him. His back has a massive tattoo. It says Chosen One.
Yes, it does.
Chosen One.
Wow.
All right. He calls himself King.
Yeah.
Adrian Wojnarowski on Yahoo had a great piece about this over the weekend. He calls himself King. He'll call up rookies or something or kids leaving college to go to the NBA. Hello? Yo, man, it's the King. Who? It's King. Who? LeBron. He calls himself king.
Wow.
And he's a king without a crown. It's you know, the emperor without his clothes. You can't walk around saying, I'm the chosen one. What the hell does that mean?
I know.
If you don't win. And look, he's going to win. But when he got there, the Heat became the only team in modern American sports history to throw a championship celebration before they played a game.
Yeah. Now, well, listen, let me jump in there, because I think one of your people that you tweeted or retweeted last night, Andrew, made this excellent point, which is the Miami Heat did more celebrating before the season began than Dirk did last night after he'd actually won the crown.
Yeah.
After he was the champion and the MVP, he did less celebrating than those guys did before they'd won a thing.
Absolutely.
And that tells you all you need to know. And shouldn't he should not have been given the name king until he had achieved something.
What do you
until
mean, he given had, the name?
Welcome to America.
Didn't he was on the cover the name? He was on the cover of SI in high school.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was that good, and he is that good.
That's the problem. If I'm that good in high school, where I should be playing pro already, I go right to the pros, and now I'm a superstar as well, I don't know how guys don't get a big head like that.
Well, they
more.
All do.
Well, I know,
they
but he's very bad at hiding it.
So
but I thought, for instance, I thought Kobe had a similar story in terms of when he developed as a great, great basketball star. And I thought he kept his head about him pretty well for the first few years.
He did, but realize what he came into. He started on the bench when he came here. Right?
He didn't start as the franchise player.
Exactly. There was Shaq. There were other pieces
that
could take the spotlight. And Kobe eventually built into it. They won their three championships, and then Shaq left, and he truly became the alpha dog, and he took over. LeBron, though, to his credit, as a 18, 19-year-old, went to Cleveland, his hometown, 30 miles up the road, and he put that franchise back on the map. He took them single-handedly to the finals. The run that they had in 06, or 07, I beg your pardon, they lost to San Antonio. They were swept. That team was garbage.
Yeah.
That team was all absolute.
It was all him and all Hart.
Garbage. Right. And he took them single-handedly to the finals.
Okay, but answer the question that nobody's been able to put their finger on. Why does he have so much trouble closing? Why is he so poor in the fourth quarter? If he's so good at other times, why can't he step up like Kobe can when he needs to at the end?
Not in him.
It's not in him.
It's not in
Why?
Him. It's not in him yet. Maybe it will be one day. Yeah. And he's had great games. On that run in 07, he had the fourth quarter and an overtime against Detroit where he scored like 30 points in the fourth quarter and overtime. But right now, it's not in him. Look at his face. Where is... Like, you try to look at a guy's face in the fourth quarter and see whether or not they're locked in. Right. I don't know where his brain is.
I got to tell you, as much hate as there is for Kobe, and some of it deservedly so, he is a closer. He wants the ball. You want to give him the ball. You don't want to do that with LeBron yet at the end of the game.
Remember after game three, Jason Terry, I think, said something about LeBron. He's the little Mavericks guy that came off the bench with the high socks last night.
Right.
For those who don't know, Jason Terry, the guy with the headband, said something like, well, LeBron's playing me well in the fourth quarter defensively, but let's see him do that for all seven games. So, you know, he called out LeBron. And people said, oh, wait till you see what LeBron's going to do now. Yep. Game four, you called him out. Kobe or Jordan? Yes. Not only if you call them out would they have come back and had a great game, they would have done so and killed you. It would have been like a Mortal Kombat thing where they held your head up in the air and it was bleeding on the court. And then he threw it into the stands and yelled something stupid. But it's not in him to do that.
This is weird because it's sort of like a hot chick who hasn't said anything for a long time, and then all of a sudden she opens her mouth.
Don't you like it when they don't say anything?
Hang on, though. Like, so you can fill in the blanks, and you can say she's perfect, she's great. This is what LeBron is, and then all of a sudden, once she, and in this case, he starts talking and mouthing off, and the decision and going down, and now he's much less likable. Much less likable than he was.
In Cleveland, he was a borderline sympathetic figure because he had nothing around him.
Absolutely.
And then the decision. I've never seen one person's public image turn so 180.
Mel Gibson.
Well, yeah.
That's not the world of sports.
I don't know if you want to, that's a weird analogy, but it's a good. It works.
Well, or Charlie Sheen. I mean, but those are actors. You're talking about athletes. That doesn't happen that often.
OJ.
And he had a good season.
OJ, sure, there's that.
There's OJ. But, you know, we're spending all the time talking about what the Heat didn't do.
Yeah,
let's talk about what the Mavericks did do. They are a great team. And they're way more than just Dirk, too.
And think about it. They're America's team because of what we just said. I mean, you have a big, goofy-looking, floppy-haired German
so funny. You look
who's
at that
leading America's team right
if
now.
If you look at that guy, Swift's easy with America's team, by the way.
Well, did America not root against the Heat?
Of course, but that doesn't mean they were America's team. Now, anybody in that position would have been America's team then. But I'm just saying, if you looked at Dirk and a bunch of other just random tall people, you would go, okay, he's probably going to be the worst of the group. He doesn't look like LeBron.
He's so goofy.
LeBron looks like an athlete. Kobe looks like an athlete. At least there are some people who you could look at and go, wow, they look like they're going to be good no matter what. Dirk doesn't look like that at all, and he's great.
At 7 foot tall, he is, well, he's the most skilled guy facing the basket at 7 feet tall to ever play the game.
I agree.
Wow. Ever play the game.
I was surprised last night. One of the announcers, Andrew, said at the end of the game that he's one of the 20 best NBA players ever. Is that
yeah.
so?
You know what? Mark Jackson said that. There's been a big debate the last couple of weeks as the momentum is built with Dallas, and you realize, all right, they're putting together something special here. They may do this.
Right.
And people say, where does Dirk fall in the top 50 or the top 100? That's Mark Jackson.
I don't think he's top 20 in 10 years.
Exactly. He's not top 20.
You can't make a decision.
He's top 40, maybe?
Yeah.
Right.
He's not top 20. Maybe he's top 30. I don't know why you have to put him on a list now. He's great. He's a Hall of Famer.
He might be. I mean, he might be in the future. He might be top 10.
Sure.
Who knows? But, I mean, it's hard to
say.
Yeah,
I was a little bit surprised to see that. Well, anyway, so that's over. So now there's no more basketball.
And there will be a lockout July 1st. No, seriously. And that doesn't mean that there's not going to be a season, but I would be absolutely 1,000,000% shocked if between now and then, July 1st being then, that they have a deal. So there will be, like the NFL, some kind of lockout, but it doesn't mean anything until you miss a game.
Okay. We'll get to the NFL in a second. We got to talk about that. We talk about the NBA lockout, and then we got to talk about baseball being the only sport left, in which case I'm going to have to kill myself.
Are the Dodgers still playing?
I don't know.
Andrew Siciliano is here. We'll return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Our friend Andrew Siciliano in here on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, got a brand new Bean's Death Corner for you coming up in just a few minutes, too. DirecTV Red Zone channel. Well, that's canceled. I'll scratch that out.
Shut up.
Hey, you want to come do sports when football's supposed to start?
I will do it when football starts. There will be football, and I will gladly come in here every morning.
Do you think it will start on time?
I actually do.
You do?
I actually do. I don't know if you're going to have a full preseason. I don't think anybody would care.
Don't care.
I think you might have a two-game preseason. They were talking a lot last week. That doesn't mean they're going to get a deal done tomorrow or anything is imminent. I know they made some progress, not leaps and bounds worth of progress, but I do think they will get something done by the first week of August. That's kind of the drop-dead date.
Okay.
To get the season beginning the weekend of September 11th when it's supposed to begin.
If they don't get it done, then you're going to drop dead?
I've thought about it.
Yeah,
I've done some research on the internet.
I'm not a huge baseball fan, and I understand I'm in the minority there. A lot of people love baseball, but when this time of the year comes around, now the NBA's gone, NHL's at Game 6. It's just baseball, if there's no football, now
then we're screwed.
Yeah.
Well, there will be college football.
All right, good enough.
Granted, SC's not what it used to be, and UCLA may never be, but. There is college football.
Yeah. There's still plenty of good teams.
Plenty of games. I love football, whether it's college football or real football. I used to do arena football for Pete's sake. You want to talk about traipsing out on the road? You want to talk about living your life, right? 6 years on the road doing arena football on weekends.
Matt Money Smith, you know him. He's a friend of course. Ours. He said, you got to come to a game with me. They're so much fun.
They really are. But after 6 years, I've had my fill of fun.
So I said, I don't want to. He's like, I promise we'll have a good time. We went in, it sucked so much.
You know what?
You can throw a touchdown pass from your own end zone.
They were fun games.
No.
I know for me, like, I'd wake up on a Sunday morning in Grand Rapids and realize I missed a friend's 30th birthday party the night before back here.
Uh-huh.
I was like, what am I doing?
Right.
I had a good time doing it, though.
And it's a fun
product, but whatever.
None of that is true.
Yeah, whatever.
Are you going to tell us the XFL was misunderstood also?
No, it wasn't. I was at that first game of the Coliseum.
Yeah.
What was the name of the team? Whatever the hell it was.
Doesn't matter.
I remember it debuted with like phenomenal ratings, and everybody was like, oh my God, this is going to work. And then nobody ever watched the other game after the first
one week.
Yeah.
Well, not the league. The league didn't last. The league lasted a year, but the buzz lasted 1 week.
Lasted one week.
It was a disaster. But yes, to answer your question, we have baseball now.
Yeah.
I love baseball. Yeah. I'm an absolute baseball geek.
Get Kevin on the Indians bandwagon. That's where he needs to be right now.
They don't have a bandwagon now. They suck.
Listen, I say that knowing most people love baseball, but I don't. And so now, now, even Sports Center, which is maybe my favorite show, it's all baseball.
But why don't you like baseball?
Because it's boring.
No, it isn't.
But here's the thing. It's boring.
Isn't there one hockey game left?
Yes.
Okay. So
game
one.
Six tonight.
Okay. So Vancouver's up 3-2, right?
3-2.
Okay. So maybe you get two games out of it. And game seven's always the best.
Right. And then
watch baseball.
By this weekend, there's
baseball.
I would rather put needles in my eyes.
That could be arranged. Seriously.
Yeah, baseball's
Andrew,
boring. I can't
see if
do
you
it.
Can figure out from Kevin, because I've never been able to, why he thinks baseball is boring.
When, why is it boring?
Because the turn of the game, I mean, every single pitch can turn the entire game around. Every single pitch
or
is dramatic and exciting.
Nothing could happen on that pitch.
Do you watch golf?
No.
Okay, I thought you were one of those people.
No.
You don't watch golf?
I don't watch golf? Boring.
What don't you watch? I mean, I'm
just
sorry. You like your hockey and you like your football. Is there anything else you like?
I like soccer.
But there's soccer going on now.
No, I know. I watch soccer. Okay. I'm fine with that.
You want to break down the Saturday disaster to Panama? We can do that.
No.
Okay. Because that was
all right,
horrible.
Let me ask you this question.
Bean, that was horrible.
Although, Bean, you would love this. I know you probably didn't watch the game, but USA played to Panama. And there was a guy that was in front of the goal, and he was so close.
Wondolowski.
To the goal that I think I would have paid $100 against him missing. It's not possible to
miss
from
there. It's almost impossible. It's as if you had 100 chances, and it would have tied the game with like 5 minutes left.
And I rewound it. I watched it. I was like,
no. And he was 5 inches from the goal line.
Well, he was maybe.
5 feet.
I mean, you put a blindfold on that guy, and he scores that goal accidentally.
As close as I am to this wall.
Oh.
And the goalie was out of the picture.
Completely gone.
He was over on the post. He was in the front of the play.
And the guy kicked it straight up in the air.
And we lost to Panama for the first time ever because of it.
Anyway, but that's soccer, and I know most people don't care about soccer, but...
Here's what I don't get, and then we're going to have to go, and that is that I can understand why not everybody's into baseball. But how can you not be into baseball and think soccer is exciting when less happens in soccer than happens in baseball?
That's not true at all.
Are you from here?
First of all, I'm from Phoenix.
Here meaning the United States of America.
Yeah.
Okay.
First of all, in soccer, it's a continuous play where all 11 players
are
involved.
But less happens. Less actually happens in soccer than happens in baseball.
But in baseball, a lot of times, and if you've got a great pitcher, a lot of times it's a two-player game. And everybody else just stands around and watches.
That's not true. They're moving. They're adjusting. You'd have to pay attention.
Oh, yeah. I'm moving to my left a little bit because he's going to throw another strike.
All right. Here's why you would like baseball. Go back to Friday. Do you like the Yankees or do you hate the Yankees? Where do you fall on the Yankees?
I don't care about any baseball team.
Okay, because Friday night, the Yankees, and then it continued into Saturday, had a little beanball thing with the Indians. You had guys warned, you had guys getting thrown out.
I saw that on SportsCenter.
You had benches emptying, you had managers jawing at each other. Now, you're not going to have that every night.
Right, but you should. Then I would watch.
Do you want more contact?
You know what?
Like Buster Posey getting blown up? That was awful.
You know what baseball needs? Baseball needs steroids. They need to okay it for everyone. Just
I guarantee you.
You know what? They should okay meth.
I guarantee
if they
you.
They gave meth to baseball players. I'm all over that.
They used amphetamines for 3 decades.
I understand that.
And I guarantee you they are using steroids.
Right?
We just haven't figured out how to catch them yet.
But we need to not try to catch them.
Kevin wants more 10-9 baseball games. That's what he
you
wants.
You want more people getting their biceps blowing off the bone and rolling up into their shoulder because they're on
roids? Is it my biceps?
So you want 900-foot home runs and people get hit in the head?
Yes!
So you want UFC meets baseball? Should they be in a cage?
Baseball bores me.
Do you want everyone to wear affliction t-shirts?
No. And listen, I do love fighting, by the
way. And have hepatitis.
Is that what you want? A new sport here today.
But here's the thing, and I just want to make this clear.
Okay.
I wish I liked it because the people who like it seem to love it and they have a great time and they follow it and they talk statistics and I wish I did. I look out and I go, wow, I'd like to be in that
club. Do you
like
going to the game?
I don't mind going to the game.
But have a beer.
But you have a beer, you have some food,
right?
And you gamble. That's what I
do. Gamble? You play mound ball?
Mound ball, any kind of gambling game. Mound ball, Lisa, is when the catcher throws the ball out to the pitcher's mound after the half of the inning. Does it stay on the pitcher's mound or roll off under the grass?
Are you kidding?
You bet on that.
Right.
Are you kidding?
You know why? Boring.
It's like your compulsive gambling family in Vegas that bets on which car comes back from the valet first. That kind of thing. That's what that is.
Yeah.
When you need the fix.
Yeah, it's BS.
Right.
But it's the only way I can enjoy the game because it's sort of...
Do you have a gambling problem?
A little, he does.
No question about that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love that you're sitting down on the couch with Dr. Siciliano with all these questions. I do love this.
I wish I had a better answer.
Usually I pay for this for people to break me down.
I wish exactly. I liked baseball because it seems like everyone who does has a great time.
We should go to all a game.
No.
We should go to a game.
I'll go to a game.
Okay, we'll go to a game.
All right.
And I'll try to point out the intricacies. I'll play
dad. That would be so
and you,
fun.
And you could be Junior with the hat on.
Oh, you and that. By the way, don't get me started. Here's part of my problem with baseball.
Right.
It is 99.99% statistics. That is all that matters. And they'll say, yeah, this is he's a seven-run ERA against left-handers that have one ear. I mean, those statistics that they get are so insignificant, and it drives me crazy. That's part of my problem.
I don't even know you.
I'll go to
all right.
I'll
okay,
go to
we're
game.
Good. We're going to have to leave it there, unfortunately. We have solved nothing once again, which is what the Kevin and Bean Show is famous for. Andrew Siciliano
Hang
will
on.
Be hosting the final score. What?
I'm sorry. Let me just finish because we
I'm
didn't
saying
say.
Goodbye here. What?
Game six is tonight at 5 p.m. on NBC. Watch the hockey game.
Okay.
I will. That. Good right. night now.
Final score, Fox Sports Net, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of this week. Andrew, we'll talk to you when you get back from Spain, man. Have a great vacation. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Monday and time for an all-new Bean's Death Corner.
Hey, everybody. Gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Bean's Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray.
There's something wrong in his head. Death.
We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I
love death.
I do love death. It's true. You can go to KevinBean.com, by the way, to see all of these stories and get further information. And there's some bonus KevinBean.com content also that we don't even have time for on the radio. So there's so much death to spread around this week.
Bonus content.
Let's start with a sad story of a 17-year-old girl in a Philadelphia neighborhood, Kevin. She was out at the neighborhood swimming pool, and she and her friends were playing a game I think we all played, which was, let's see who can hold their breath the longest.
Oh, no.
So she went underwater and did not resurface. So the bad news is she's dead. The good news is she clearly won, right? So she's got that going for her.
Oh
nice music this time, by the way. Well done.
Some sad music for her.
Here's a couple of Canadians who died instantly in a freak accident near Ottawa. A car coming in the other direction hit a bear, a 440-pound bear, bounced off of their car, went across the center lane, and ended up going through the windshield of a car coming in the opposite direction, killing two of the three people in the car.
Oh,
how
God.
Often do you get killed by a flying bear? What are the chances something like that's going to happen? The people, by the way, in the car that hit the bear, uninjured.
Sweet. Can you imagine?
I know.
That's how I got injured, is avoiding a cow in the road, because you hear if you hit an animal that big, it's like hitting a wall.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
But this bear flew in through the windshield
and killed a completely separate group of people who had nothing to do with it. Here's a terrible story in Wichita, Kansas. A man was doing a little weed whacking, unfortunately, off the sidewalk and in the road. He was hit by a car. The man that hit him, listen to this. He gets hit by a car. He flies into the windshield and then up onto the luggage rack of the guy's car. The guy drives with him on the top of his car for more than 3 miles.
What?
Everyone along the way calling 911 saying, hey, there's a body on the top of this car that's zipping through town. And the guy drove to his house where the police met and arrested him.
What?
And, of course, not only did he hit and kill a guy, but then he had all the, not stopping at the scene of an accident and blah, 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 all the other stuff. And that guy was a doctor, too, the guy that did that.
How could they possibly have proved that case?
Here's a terrible internet trend in Russia. You know how we make fun of Dave for how much he's into the planking?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, in Russia, apparently the hot new thing there, this will bring you good luck, is if you agree to be buried underground in a coffin for the night.
Nope.
You survive this, then you have good luck for the rest of your life, Kevin. You only have to do it for one night. Why not?
I'm not even all that claustrophobic, but being buried in a coffin underground, I don't think that's for me.
Could not
well,
do
this
it.
35-year-old thought he had everything worked out. He had a coffin. He had holes for air pipes. He took a phone and a bottle of water with him. His friend covered up the coffin with earth and left. The guy called him from inside the ground and said everything's going fine. They showed up the next morning. Apparently, it had rained and the mud had filled up all the holes in the coffin.
That guy got what was coming to him, though. Let's be honest.
But he's already buried, so there's no fuss, no muss. If you actually die in a coffin underground, you're already buried, right? And finally, these are my people, and I'm very sad anytime old people get killed, particularly these old people. This is a
Beans,
lovely...
Beans happy if they're younger. Sad
yes,
if they're old.
I sad to see old people. These are this is a happily retired couple from Manchester, Connecticut. Kevin, they're in their 60s, and their life's dream was, hey, let's hit the road when we retire. Let's go see America. And they finished up their tour in Ohio. It was the 50th of all 50 states that they visited together.
Wow.
So they celebrated, spent the night at a Quality Inn there in Liberty Township, Ohio, got up the next morning, walked across the street to the Denny's for breakfast. On the way, were hit and both killed by a vehicle in front of the Denny's. They made it to all 50 states, but Ohio, unfortunately, is the last state they'll ever visit on this tour. And this has been an all-new Beans Death Corner.
That was Beans Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
You knew it was a mistake at the wedding. Walking down the aisle, you thought, what am I doing? We're going to be taking your calls coming up after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show and tell you the survey that inspired the topic. Hey, Ralph Garman, what's going on, man?
I told my wife, too bad.
Too late. We've already...
I've already got the Batmobile. You are screwed.
There's no deposit on the where we're getting married, so we got to go through with it.
Sure does sound like Ralph's making a joke when he says I had a deposit on the Batmobile, but he sure did show up at his wedding in a Batmobile.
Yes.
Someone sounds jealous, Ralph. Someone sounds jealous.
Would you show up at a wedding?
I've never seen anyone more proud.
There are no other options.
More proud to drive the Batmobile than to get married.
That's why I got married. Had a reason to drive up something in a Batmobile. That's all I was.
And there's
for.
A woman that would put up with that.
Yes.
And you said you're mine.
She regrets it. Hey, you know, Lisa's ratting you out, Kevin. By the way,
what?
Totally.
How's she ratting you out?
You deserved it.
She just tweeted. Oh, I misspoke in one of my commercials. Was Kevin was talking too loudly to our guest.
Well, we were, but
ratted you right
Kevin.
Out.
Stupid Kevin was whispering really loud to Andrew Siciliano, 2 feet from me.
All right, we were a little loud, but
yeah.
She ratted you out
Why
on Twitter.
Why would you rat me out?
Because I don't want to look stupid. It's your fault.
You sounded stupid.
You said market face instead of marketplace.
Yeah, that's pretty my stupid. Fault. Totally your fault.
Oh, market face.
Every time I screw up, I'm going to say Lisa was whispering too loudly, right?
That's right.
All wow,
right.
That's how you turn on a coworker. I see.
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. We do it every Monday morning. Super 8 was the number one movie at the box office, $37 million in its debut weekend. I wonder if that includes the Thursday screenings as well.
Oh, that's a good question, because a lot of times it doesn't.
Yeah. X-Men First Class, number two, with $25 million. The Hangover Part 2 made $18.5 million, good enough to put it at the number three slot. Kung Fu Panda 2, Pirates of the Caribbean 4, the top five. Then Bridesmaids, Judy Moody, and the Nut Bummer Summer. Midnight in Paris, Thor, and Fast 5, rounding out your top 10.
Dean, how is Judy Moody?
You know, I didn't actually make it to anything this weekend.
Didn't see Super 8 after... I was so close to going to a midnight screening of Super 8 on Thursday, but I'll just catch it today.
We need to have,
didn't even go.
We need to have a conversation with Beam where we have a ruling that he's not allowed to tell us what he's excited about.
I've been looking forward to Super 8 since the first previews a year and a half
ago. That's great.
Right.
But you're not going to go, so hasn't every second you've talked about it to us been a waste of our time?
I had a very busy weekend, you guys.
Oh, stop it.
I did.
What? Did your newt need to be scraped?
We actually performed surgery on my pig's ear over the weekend, as a matter of fact. So I did have things going on.
Was that a 12-hour surgery?
Yeah.
Well, no, but...
Fill up your weekend?
Saturday and Sunday?
With ear surgery?
No, but then, you know, staying close to him because he came out of anesthesia and making sure he was okay throughout the evening. Yeah, it was a big deal for us on
Saturday.
So
when you said we performed surgery on his ear...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We had a vet come out,
well,
but
then you didn't perform
surgery. We assisted, though.
No, you didn't.
We assisted. We were extra hands.
You were in the room. That's all. It's like me saying, oh, I delivered my baby this weekend. I was in the hospital at the time. That's all.
I'm just saying I wanted to see Super 8. I didn't get to it, but I still hope to see it. And I still hope to see Hangover 2 as well.
Right. But what we're saying is stop wasting our time with your hopes.
We all hope for a lot of things, and it just never happens.
You hope to win the lottery, too. Doesn't mean you just count on it.
Shia LaBeouf says he's done playing his signature character from the Transformer film, Sam Witwicky. This will be the final Transformers for Shia. The third, it's Dark of the Moon. He will not be returning for another sequel, though he thinks that they probably will make another one. The franchise is just too big, but he's out. However, he did say Indiana Jones 5. That's in the works, and he's up for it. He's in. He said Harrison is staying in the gym to stay in shape, and they're very close, and Lucas is finalizing the plot for number five, so that's the plan.
The crystal skull didn't kill that?
No, apparently.
Honestly?
Well, now they have to make another one because they have to redeem themselves from the fourth one.
We gotta call Harrison Ford and find out how he's preparing for the fifth movie.
I don't know
movie.
If you want to do that. It might have to
I believe we
idea.
Do.
Yeah. And it's tough to be a member of the Glee cast. Darren Criss.
Which
who he is the leader of the Warblers, I think.
Oh, okay.
And he's very popular, right?
Yes,
kids love him.
He's the handsome in the show. He plays the gay guy who's dating.
Oh,
Kurt,
okay.
Kurt.
All right.
You know, they went to that private school together or whatever.
Yep.
Very popular with the girls, although I don't know why. If you watch the show, you know he's not interested in you, ladies. He was performing in Washington, D.C. with the rest of the cast, and a fan reached up and pulled him off the stage.
Sweet.
Female fan grabbed him as he was singing Queen's Somebody to Love.
Hey, take it easy, fans.
Yanked him right off the stage.
What are you doing?
Apparently he wasn't hurt, but he later tweeted that he came really close to hitting his head on a gate between the crowd and the stage, so it was a scary moment. He also tweeted that he screwed up the lyrics because Kevin was whispering too loudly to Andrew Siciliano while he was performing.
So, Lisa.
Apparently.
That's
very hard to perform when
that
Kevin's
is pretty,
whispering.
That's weak, Lisa, by the way.
Listen, I think the listeners like to hear the little background of what's going on sometimes.
But if you tweet every time, I'm distracted.
Oh, please. I don't have that kind of time.
All right, just be just a tweet deck full of Kevinisms.
And I'd also like to point out that far crazier things are going on in the room some of the time, and if we got distracted every time there was something weird happening, we'd sound terrible all the time.
So step it up and don't. I don't know what that
means. It's your problem, you people.
So I'm just saying.
It was one tweet. Shut the hell up and move on.
Oh, go tweet Lisa's cranky this morning. That's what
please
I'm gonna
tweet. Do.
Celebrity birthdays.
Why don't you just leave the room? I don't need your help.
Celebrity birthdays today. Malcolm McDowell, 68 years old today. Tim Allen turns 58. Lead singers Rivers Cuomo. What? Weezer lead singer Rivers Cuomo is 41 years old today. Steve-O turns 37. Ethan Embry turns 33. Chris Evans celebrates his 30th birthday today.
They did do a good job making Captain America.
Quite a change in that Captain America capsule when he came out. Ashley and Kate, Mary-Kate Olsen are 25. And Kat Dennings celebrates her 25th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 8 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Are you listening to the same show we are?
Listen, there's a lot of stuff going on in my head.
Kevin's hearing things that none of us are hearing.
No, I hear there's somebody that's opening and closing a notebook. Click, 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 click.
I'm sure there is.
I hope, because if not, I'm crazy.
But no, nobody else is hearing it or doing it, so that scares me. All right, here's an interesting study. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, by the way, on a Monday. Thanks a lot for tuning in. The article is from Marie Claire, a very popular woman's magazine. Did you marry the wrong guy? 30% of now divorced women say they knew it was wrong from the start, meaning at the wedding or before they got married, they knew it was a mistake, but they went through with it anyway. Here's a story to get us started, and then we're going to want to hear your tales if this happened to you, guys or girls, at 1-800-520-1067. As Amanda Clark, 33, a caterer from Boston, walked down the aisle toward her fiancé wearing a $15,000 gown and a 7-carat ring, she felt nothing but dread. I don't want to go through with this, she thought, with each step toward the altar. Now, that's a bad situation there. You're walking down the aisle thinking, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do this.
Every step takes all of your energy.
Well, it's funny you should say that, Kevin, because just 2 hours before the ceremony, Clark had gone for a dip in the ocean with her two sisters. When it was time to get ready, Clark wouldn't budge. I couldn't get out of the water. It was like knowing you have a work meeting, but you don't want to go. She had dated a handsome businessman for 4 years before they got engaged, and although he did not make her heart race, she still loved him. We were best friends. I thought he'd make a great husband and a father, even though I wasn't in love. As I walked down the aisle, I was thinking, what the hell? During my vows, I wasn't making eye contact with my fiancé. Now, how does something like this happen? Is it, and I'm curious to talk to some of our callers on this topic, because is it, especially for ladies, and maybe Lisa, you've got friends, you can answer this better than I would know, but is it the excitement over the wedding? Is that what it is? Is it the wedding fever that kind of carries you through the part where you now aren't thinking about the marriage as much as you're just thinking about how excited you are about this big day?
Sometimes it's that, but in her case, and a lot of people I know, I think it's more that you're fighting between what we've always known as like sort of the fairy tale, mm-hmm. the way that you'll feel about the person that you marry versus who makes a good husband. She said it perfectly. We're best friends. He'll be a great dad. He's probably the one I should marry.
Yes.
So I'm going to say yes, even though I'm not madly in love with him, because I fall madly in love with idiots, you know?
Right.
And then
right.
you get down there and you're like, oh my God, this is the rest of my life.
All right, so we're going to take your calls. And again, the key is not in retrospect, you look back and it was a bad marriage.
Right.
This is... you knew beforehand, and most importantly, while you were walking down the aisle.
Ugh.
And I imagine at that point, it's impossible just for embarrassment's sake to back all yeah. the people.
I bet there are a lot of people who have fights or struggles while they're engaged. And even at that point, they think it's too embarrassing. We'll look
Probably.
So weak and so foolish by canceling the wedding.
Probably, yeah.
I bet. But I think you're really onto something there, Lisa. I think people do, especially young women, have a Cinderella feeling for the romance and the you know, your heart is bursting with love for this person when you're going to get married. And a lot of times people don't wait for that person. They make a decision before that because they've got a lot of other factors involved. Hey, I'm not getting any younger. Hey, I may not do better.
Right.
I mean, for some women, it's such a huge accomplishment to get engaged. And then, you know, the wedding is just something that, you know, it's such a special day because all eyes are on you and you feel so pretty and you don't want to give that up by calling it off.
No, and you've spent so many, like she was engaged for 4 years or with this guy for 4 years. Yeah, you spend all of that time. I can totally see how it happens.
Plus, you tune into too many episodes of Say Yes to the Dress, and then what are you supposed to do?
F you for knowing that's on.
Aren't there like a million of these shows?
Yes.
Don't they have one show? What's the one that I heard about where all the girls compete to, maybe it's guys too, I don't know, but they compete to see how much weight they can lose. And then whoever loses the most weight gets the wedding paid for.
My God.
Or something like that.
Shedding before the wedding?
Oh. Is that what it's called?
F you for knowing that.
I don't know that.
All of these shows, there's a whole industry around the whole wedding industry, which to me is a complete ripoff. They know this is your day, so they stick it to you every way they can,
yeah.
money-wise. They charge you for everything. But there are 17 TV shows about it. Drives me crazy.
The wedding industry, Kevin, is a $40 billion a year business right now. And let me tell you something else, and then we're going to go to your call here in 1 second, John, on line two. Let me tell you something else. If you don't have a proposal now that's good enough to put on YouTube, then you suck.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
That's the standard now, is your proposal has to be elaborate enough and creative enough and awesome. It's not enough anymore to just, hey, I want to marry you and spend the rest of my life with you. Now it has to be so spectacular that you share it with the world on YouTube.
That's a lot of hey, look at me, though. As far as I'm concerned.
Oh, my God, the
you know
pressure.
I mean? Like, come
too.
On.
Yeah.
1-800-520-1067. You knew it was a mistake the day you got married, but you still went through with it. Oh, John just hung up. All right, let's try.
John
was a call back, John. Let's talk to Brittany then. Let's get Brittany in before the break. She's on line three.
Hey, Brittany.
Hey, Brittany.
Hello.
Hi. What's going on, girlfriend?
Hey. Yeah, I got married pretty young. I was about 23 at the time. And I knew it was a mistake the day of. And it was one of those situations where he proposed in a big, elaborate way, put it on YouTube, just like you were saying.
But wait, let me just stop you right there. Because to me, the elaborate and then put it on YouTube, that's warning signs to me. Like, that's bad.
It should have been to me. But again, I was just so young, and
yeah.
and I just thought, okay, this is the next step. This is what you're supposed to do. And then the day of the wedding, I couldn't eat. I thought I was going to faint. I was faking my way through everything.
Wow.
But all these people had come from so far, and I just felt so bad about it.
You spent so much money. There's just no way to back out at that point. But you knew that was a mistake.
I was really kind of going on the hope, because I had talked to people about it. I had said, I have these really strange feelings about it, and everyone tells you it's cold feet.
Right.
Yep, that's right. It's just jitters. You're going to be fine once you get married. Exactly.
And now I look back on the wedding videos and I see myself, and because I recognize myself, I'm like, oh my God, I do not look well.
I'm so unhappy right there.
So we have to know, how long did it last?
It lasted a year.
And was he shocked when he found out that you felt that way?
I don't think so. I think, honestly, he was more into it at the time, but I think it didn't surprise him all too much. You know,
wow.
It was one of those things where we both just realized this is just not the best idea from the start. Let's get out of it before we end up hating each other.
Hey, at least he realized it, too. That's not the case with most, I would imagine.
All right, let me ask you one more question for other people who may find themselves in this situation that you've lived through already, Brittany. Had you called it off, had you said, even up till the last minute, I'm sorry, I can't go through with this, I don't feel like I want to get married, I mean, everybody would have been fine. You would have survived that, and people would still love you, and it would have been forgotten, right?
Yes, absolutely. That's one thing that I think back on, because the one thing you don't think about is if it does end somewhere down the line, now, instead of just telling your parents or your family, I can't marry this person, we're calling off the wedding, now it's like, I've been married to this person who is now your relative,
yeah,
and we're calling off a marriage.
Yeah.
It's a little harder to do, I would
say. It's even harder.
I disagree with Bean. It would never have been forgotten. But it may have been the right thing to do.
Right.
Yeah, it probably would have.
And I have to say, Brittany sounds hot. I think it was his loss. I got to be honest. I think you're a good catch, Brittany. I'm glad you called. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Thanks for calling.
1-800-520-1067. Miguel, listen to me. Miguel, you hang on. Dottie, you hang on. We'll take your calls next right after this on the Kevin and Bean. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com joins us in a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Very interesting drama that I have not been paying very close attention to, about the guy who lied about having an affair with Kim Kardashian.
Yeah.
And now Harvey's talking about whether she's going to sue him or not. So we'll get the very latest on that coming up in a minute. First, though, did you marry the wrong guy is the headline of this article in Marie Claire magazine. Of course, Kevin subscribed, so he brought this in. 30% of now divorced women say they knew it was wrong from the start. And I mean from the start, not, hey, I'm looking back on it, and of course we got a divorce because we never really got along. I mean while they were getting married, they knew it was a mistake.
This is wrong, every step.
So we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Let's take Lisa. Lisa is exactly who we're looking for on line one. Hi, Lisa. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Hi. I was definitely that person walking down the aisle going, oh my God, I can't believe I'm doing this.
How did it happen?
Yeah. You get caught up in the pretty wedding. You get really caught up, and I fell in love with the idea of having the wedding, and I started having panic attacks, and that's when I knew. I was like,
But nowhere along the way did you think, hey, what about the guy?
You know what? I did, and I think we both kind of had, for sure it was more me than him, but we had been together for a while and split up, and something was always missing when we got back together, and sure. I could never pinpoint it, and probably to this day I can't even pinpoint it, but I just had panic attacks. And
tell me about your wedding day. Tell me what was going through your mind.
Look at all the money I spent.
And yeah, by spent, you mean wasted.
I spent so much money. I was at a relative's house, really pretty, old home, and it was the total father of the bride wedding, and it was so pretty, and my cousin is a florist, so you can imagine the flowers,
sure,
and it was his house, and it was so pretty.
Were you aware at that time that weddings lead to marriages?
That's a joke. Yeah.
Thank you for calling, Lisa. We appreciate it.
You know, I think that's I think you put your finger on the problem with most of the stories that we're hearing, is that the wedding was so exciting that I should have spent more time thinking about what happened the next day, which is that, hey, I'm married to this person, and do I want to be? All right, 1-800-520-1067. Let's get a dude's perspective, shall we? Let's get Miguel on. He's on line four. We've been hearing from a lot of ladies here. Miguel, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You knew it was a mistake while you were getting married.
Yeah, dude. This is Santa Monica.
Yeah! Long time.
That guy prank calls us, and it makes us so happy. I don't know why. We love it when he prank calls us. It's been a long time.
I miss him so much. Sweet. Let's try Ken then. Ken will be speaking for the guys on line eight. Ken, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Well, let's see. I needed an excuse to get out of work. So I asked my then-girlfriend, let's just run off and get married.
Wait, an excuse to get out of work for how long?
That's a day.
A day.
Okay.
Well,
this
that
isn't
was
making
worth it.
Any sense.
No, that was totally worth it. I could see that.
Why did she agree to marry you, Ken? You sound like a doofus.
We actually had been somewhat engaged for like a few months, and really just it was a horrible relationship.
Good.
We just were not compatible with each other.
Good.
I eventually ended up cheating on her and with my current wife. Yeah, and
who you're cheating on now with someone else, right?
Of course.
No, so, no. Actually, my current wife and I have been married 11 years. Wonderful. Have kids. It's great.
So more to the point, though, of this topic that we brought up. You knew when you were getting married, hey, this is great that I'm off work today, but this is never going to work out. It's a big mistake.
I knew before that we'd probably not end up being together. I knew, wow. We had been fighting. My friends didn't like her. They didn't like the way I was with her. It was just a horrible situation.
You sound like such a prize, too.
You're a bad decision maker, Ken.
Yes, you are.
I really was.
All right.
Thank you for the call. By the way, let's not forget that I got married only because the movie was sold out and we were looking for something to do. So sometimes you do get married on a whim.
Yeah, but you hit the lottery because your wife is nuts enough to stick with you.
Right.
Of all people, you hit the lottery. You're so lucky she said yes.
But aren't we all so lucky that somebody says
yes?
Yes,
but you more
than most. Let's face it. All right, let's take one more. How about Karina, line 5? She cried like crazy during her wedding and not because she was happy. Karina.
A lot of brides do, but
Karina, what happened, sweetheart?
Oh, my God. I was crying, and we're doing the vows, and everybody's like, aw. And I'm like, no, I'm crying because I'm totally doing the wrong thing.
Somebody help me. Get me out of here. God. You're just praying for a bomb scare, just anything to clear the church at that point, right?
I mean, yeah. And everybody was just like, aw. And he was looking at me, but honestly, I know he was probably saying the same thing just because he's an alcoholic, okay? So
good.
He was mad that he couldn't drink. I told him, Do not drink. You're going to act like a fool in front of everybody. Don't. So that's part of the reason why I was crying.
Because
I'm like, I don't want to deal with this crap for the rest of my life. But she held all the pictures. I'm like totally doing everything by myself. Cutting the cake by myself.
What?
In the background with
a
face because he couldn't drink. I'm like,
what, he was throwing a tantrum so much that he wouldn't cut the cake with you and take pictures and stuff?
Exactly.
And why didn't that work out?
Whoa.
You know how to read them. How long did the marriage last?
We're married still, and he's
at what? I'm sorry. What
did you just say?
Okay, well, you know, I mean, you get married, and you're there, and you know.
How long have you been married?
3 years.
Oh my God! Is he still an alcoholic?
Is he at home drinking right now?
No. Probably. Now, you know what? He actually is going to AA, and he just has other issues. And you know what? I just know that if we were meant to be put together, then you know what? I have to be there for him. I feel bad. I can't just, like, I know. I sound like a total idiot. But
you need to run. Seriously, you need to run.
I think the whole crying during the vows. The whole crying. What's that, huh?
I have two kids with them, so that's why. I was like, okay, I gotta try.
And the good decisions keep coming.
That's right.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 8:41.
Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show means we catch up with our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com and TMZ Television. Hey, Harvey, how you doing, man?
I'm good, guys. How are you? Hi, it's me.
Hi.
I'd like you to tweet more about your vegetarianism. I'd like to make that request if you could spend more time doing that.
You're being so sarcastic.
By the way,
I'm actually trying to. I'm using it to be useful information. So.
Yeah, and Bean's the wrong guy to be attacking anyone's tweets.
Anyone for their minutia.
Any reason,
Harvey? Did you really get a fish so that you'd have something to look at and give you the constant reminder not to eat them by accident?
I'm struggling. I'm really struggling.
Wait. You're struggling with remembering that you don't want to eat fish?
No, I'm struggling about fish. You don't want to get into this. It's
all right.
A whole thing.
Okay.
But I mean, for me, it's not like a useless tweet. It's actually really important for me.
No, okay. I kid because I love Harvey. Come on, man. You know
no, it's fine. It's fine. But I mean, I'm really struggling with this whole vegetarian thing, and I want to be one. But I feel like I need fish because I've been eating it for like 2 years and nothing else.
Right.
And I've caught it. And so, yeah, I got a fish and named it ribeye.
Sweet. I want to be a vegetarian too, but I love meat. So I'm out.
All right, let's move on to some of the great stuff you've got on the site right now. You have been all over this. In fact, I got to be honest, this is a story I've not followed closely, and I hope you can bring me up to speed. Kim Kardashian versus Brett Lockett. What's the story here, Harvey?
Well, okay, look. She's going to file a lawsuit probably today against this guy, and I hope she does, and if she does, she's going to win. He tried ruining her relationship with Chris Humphries. You know, he is the New England Patriots guy who is once referred to as a star, I think, by In Touch. He actually made 10 tackles last year, and that's it.
Is he a former boyfriend?
No, he's currently with the Patriots.
No, but I'm saying a former boyfriend?
No. So he's saying that in January and onward, while she was with Chris, he had a physical and online relationship with her. And Kim was saying, this is ridiculous. I've never met this guy. I have no idea who this guy even is.
Wow.
And he is like, he does this interview with In Touch. Kim's lawyers say, if you do this In Touch, if you publish this, we're going to sue you and we're going to sue him. They publish it. So it becomes a big thing. I put him on TMZ Live last Thursday, and I start asking him, well, where is it that, just give me the city that you had this physical, I'm not going to tell you. Just give me the city. And you don't even have to tell me where. What city? I can't tell you. So why? And there was something hinky about it. So he finally confessed over the weekend that he's never met her. And so he just did this. He's a fame whore. And he wanted the attention, and he did it at her expense, and she's now going to sue him and bring it on, she said. My question is, should the Patriots do something?
I mean, this does seem like illegal behavior. It seems like this would be a violation of some sort of conduct clause, I would think, to go out there and blatantly lie about something like this. Yeah.
It's terrible that he did this to her, I think.
And I don't even understand. I mean, how stupid are you to pick somebody like Kim Kardashian, who's one of the most photographed and most followed women in the world? It's going to be pretty evident that it didn't happen because she's followed everywhere she goes, right?
You know, it's always difficult to deny the negative.
Yeah,
okay,
true.
So there are no pictures. You know,
what do you think his motive was? Just to become famous because he attaches himself to Kim Kardashian's name?
He wants a music career. So that's for starters.
And he got Kim Kardashian wants a music career. She can't even get one, and she's Kim Kardashian.
He got a lot of attention from this. You didn't know who Brad Lockett was last week.
No. Unbelievable. So what a story. Well, as a lawyer, what do you think about her case against In Touch and against the player?
I think she is going. I think she can decimate.
But is there any demonstrable harm, though?
I would think so.
Well, I mean, I think so. Plus, I mean, look, there is. I mean, her image is worth something, and you know, on top of that, you can get punitive damages if somebody engages in fraud or malice. And I think this is fraud and malice. So, you know, I think this guy's open to a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, I agree. This is Voice of Harvey Levin on the Kevin and Bean Show. Go to TMZ.com to play the home game if you want to follow along. Let's talk about the Tracy Morgan story, which really blew up at the end of last week. He made some terrible attempts at comedy that upset a lot of people. What's the latest on that, and what's likely to happen to him in relationship to his job at 30 Rock?
I don't think anything's going to happen to him at 30 Rock. I mean, I think he apologized quickly, which was smart of him, and he may have done it because the honchos over at NBC wanted him to do that. I don't really see where even the attempt of humor was there.
I don't either.
He was talking about, you know, if his kid came home and started talking gay, he would, as he put it, he would, you know, stab him and kill him. And it's like, where is the arguable humor in that?
That's not so much a punchline of any kind.
Of any kind. And, right. You know, and he's apologized, you know, I think, you know, and he's made other comments before that got him in some hot water. But I think, you know, this one may have resonated.
Do you think he gets a little bit of the benefit of the doubt just because he's so crazy and everybody knows how crazy and outrageous he is? It's not like Ron Howard or somebody came out and said these things. I mean, Tracy Jordan says crazy stuff, right?
Well, you could say that, but you could make the same argument about Michael Richards, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
I mean, he was a little bit crazy, and look what happened there. I think it's different. And, you know, I will say that I think part of the difference is that society is more tolerant with homophobic remarks than they are racist remarks. And, you know, we even put a poll up on the website and said, you know, what Tracy did wrong. And I think like 35% of the people said no.
What?
Wow.
And I don't think our website could in any way be classified as right wing, and that I think that's really interesting.
I would consider what Tracy Morgan did to do way worse than what
Michael Richards did.
It didn't have that reaction in it.
Isn't that interesting? All right, one more thing I have to ask you about, Harvey, and I don't know whether you've heard about this or not, but are you down with the new Weird Al song about TMZ?
I've heard about it, and you know what? I think this came out a week or two ago.
Well, the album's not out yet, but
hang on. Before we move on, Harvey, I just want to let you know that you are dealing with the most knowledgeable Weird Al fan ever in history.
Well, who am I to talk to?
Yeah, so Bean really knows his Weird Al.
Well, I love Weird Al because he's the greatest human in the history of the world. And artists always say that that's how they, I mean, everyone, you know, from Kurt Cobain, you know, back has said, I made it in my career when Weird Al covered one of my songs. I'm going to argue that TMZ now is the official biggest website on the planet because Weird Al did a song about you. Have you heard any of it, Harvey? Because I have a clip standing by.
Play it. I want to hear it.
It's he's doing a parody of the Taylor Swift song "You Belong with Me," and okay. It's all about TMZ and it's all about your photographers out trying to take pictures of people who look bad. Listen up.
The bad hair day and sweat stained T-shirt. That's the story that they're gonna feature with exclusive pics of your flabby behind. You think you're all alone, but that's right when you'll find a bunch of paparazzi popping. TMZ.
Come on, how about that,
oh my God.
Harvey, you made it.
Oh, my
you
God.
You made it, Harvey. Weird Al is singing about TMZ. Come on.
I like the song.
You're somebody.
Lyrics, eh?
Do you want me to email you the whole MP3? You can hear the whole song?
That would be nice of you.
Awesome. Oh, you got to put it up. It's awesome. And, of course, the great Weird Al's album comes out tomorrow. But Harvey Levin, TMZ.com, TMZ Television. And don't forget, when in Los Angeles with friends and family, be sure to take the TMZ tour. You will love it. Harvey, have a great week, man. Good to talk to you.
Okay, guys, you too.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
It's really our favorite new show of the season, Repo Games, it's called. Kevin's got some highlights of some of the contestants who tried to win back their car from being repossessed by answering some simple trivia questions.
And unbelievably simple.
Yeah, but you underestimate the stupidity of the average American.
But they somehow find people that can't possibly exist.
No, if you take the subset of people who F up their lives so badly that they can't keep up with their car payments, I think you will find the lower average intelligence amongst those people than you would folks who can keep up with their bills.
I'll tell you what you do find is TV gold. I'll tell you that.
And the 909 area code has not gotten this much publicity since Cops. So congratulations. All right, that's coming up after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph Garman joins us for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
I've got some tickets to give away to a very cool event that's happening at the LACMA Museum, L.A. County Museum of Art. It is a retrospective dedicated to the work of Tim Burton.
Yay! No kidding.
Filmmaker extraordinaire who not only is a talented director and writer, but as an artist, I mean, he's made some amazing work.
Sure.
And this is a look back on his entire career. It's a major retrospective of the director's artwork on view through October the 31st at LACMA. If you'd like to go and be one of the first people to see the exhibit, I've got 5 pairs of tickets to give away right
now. Exhibit is going to be there?
Oh, Gilligan. 5 pairs of tickets at 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. If you get through, you're one of the first 5. You'll get a pair of tickets to go see Tim Burton, a major retrospective of his artwork at the LACMA. When's the last time you stopped by the L.A. County Museum of Art, Kevin? I'm just curious.
I'm sorry?
When was the last time you visited
the Los Angeles
County Museum of Art? Because I know you're a big art fan.
I'm going with never.
You've never been there? Really?
It's a pretty safe bet.
It's a great museum.
I'm not a museum
really
guy.
Is.
I don't like museums.
But you could be if you just open your mind.
Do you know anything about
me? Open your mind and your ass will follow, Kevin. I've always said that.
Have you met me?
If they did a Fast Five exhibit, Kevin would be there.
That's true.
Hangover 2. The artwork of Hangover 2.
I'm ashamed to admit.
Face tattoos through time. Maybe
these guys are trying to insult me, and they're right. That sucks.
You're hard to insult. I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing, but it's true. It's Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office and see how much money they made this weekend. Super 8 made $37 million in its debut. I was getting some emails from some listeners, and we think we've narrowed down what your problem was with Super 8. Why you thought that Elle Fanning's character was so much older?
She looked older.
She's just so much taller than those guys are. That's what it is.
Yeah,
that's what confused you. And she does show up in the film driving a car initially, which could probably throw you off.
Right, but she said, "I'm not old enough to drive."
Yeah,
so at least
she
answered
her dad's car. Yeah, but she is a tall girl. There's a photo of her at the premiere, and she's standing next to Tom Cruise, and she's the same height as Tom Cruise.
Everyone's taller than Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Hey, she was in the audience for one of the final Idol, American Idol shows this season, and she stood next to Ryan Seacrest, and she was absolutely taller than Seacrest.
So she's a big girl. But there were those girls in junior high. I had those girls who were taller than a lot of the boys.
Yeah, but they never paid any attention to you, did they?
They did, because I was taller. I was a tall kid. I was almost, I was like 5'9" when I was in junior high school. You guys all right?
Yeah, we're fine.
I lost him. I was talking to Kevin, and then next thing I know, he turned around, and he's like,
beer mug's like,
he's wrestling with beer mug. I don't know what's happened either. X-Men First Class was number two at the box office, $25 million. Hangover Part 2 was third. Kung Fu Panda was second. Pirates of the Caribbean was fourth. Bridesmaids, Judy Moody, and the Not Bummer Summer was seventh in the list. Bean, did you like that one? Did you like Judy Moody?
I actually didn't.
You didn't check that out? I didn't think your kind of film.
No.
Chris Hansen waiting for you in the parking lot. Midnight in Paris was eight. Thor and Fast Five rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. Sad news, Clarence Clemens, legendary saxophone player for Bruce Springsteen's E Street Band, has suffered a stroke. Apparently he is in the hospital and is in serious condition. According to several sources, Clarence is 69 years old, has been battling a variety of health problems, and this is just the most recent and most serious. So,
is Dick Clark going to book him for New Year's Eve this year?
Oh, come on now. Really?
How are you going to go like that?
I thought you were a fan of the big man.
This is what everybody's been waiting for.
But they keep putting Dick Clark on TV after his stroke. They're going to still trot Clarence out there and make him play sax, right?
No, Dick Clark puts Dick Clark on TV.
I don't think Clarence has an interest.
Other people allow it, though.
Yeah.
I bet sax is not the instrument you want to play after a stroke.
Could be.
I bet.
He was supposed to play the national anthem at one of the NBA Finals games and had to bow out because he was having too much trouble with his hands. So, I mean, he's got some other health problems on top of the stroke, so he's in bad shape.
And Selena Gomez was rushed to the hospital Thursday after an appearance on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. You can draw your own conclusions from that. She had to cancel an event on Friday where she was going to be at a mall in Santa Monica promoting her new movie, Monte Carlo. TMZ.com says that Selena was nauseous, had really bad headaches, and has been undergoing tests for blood pressure issues, but doctors can't figure out what's wrong with her.
Huh.
However, one doctor speculates Bieber fever.
Oh,
oddly enough.
No cure.
No one has tested her for Bieber fever.
Interesting.
She has been exposed to Bieber more than anyone else I can think of in the past year.
That's a good point.
You gotta look for lesions. That's how you tell if it's the Bieber fever. Anal lesions.
Oh.
Look, I didn't invent the disease. Don't kill the messenger.
I saw them last night at the Troop.
Anal lesions? Yeah,
very good.
Ralph, I think you were on vacation a couple of weeks ago when we did the call-in topic of self-surgeries. Did you miss that, self-surgeries?
No.
It was based around the house. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you were here. Okay, so you remember the woman who called in who was removing her own anal warts.
Sure.
Uh-huh. Yeah, let's talk about this some more.
Oh, my God.
We should continue this conversation more.
I wanted to share it with Ralph in case he missed it. I'd forgotten that he was here.
Enjoy that eggs and sausage, people, if you're having breakfast at this time in the morning.
Eat up.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Malcolm McDowell, a very talented actor. You ever see the movie Clockwork Orange? Or Clockwork Orange, Stanley Kubrick's film?
Nope.
Why do I bother asking?
Didn't you see it at the LACMA?
It's a classic. You should check it out. You would like it. It's ultra-violent and disturbing.
All right.
It's about the British punks who terrorize and torture average citizens.
I'm in.
He's the star of that. It's made him a big star, and he's still acting today. 68 years old today. Tim Allen is 58. Weezer lead singer Rivers Cuomo is 41 years old today. Steve O is 37. Ethan Embry, very talented actor, is 33. Chris Evans, Captain America, and the Human Torch. Not a lot of guys are two superheroes, but he is. He's 30 years old. Ashley and Mary-Kate Olsen are 25, and Kat Dennings celebrates her 25th birthday. Looking forward to her new series coming on this fall. She plays a waitress. Two Broke Girls, I believe it's called, and it's supposed to be very good. So looking forward to seeing that. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Congratulations to Russ Hooper from Rancho Cucamonga. Just got tickets to see Foo Fighters when they play October 13th at the Forum, plus qualified to win the guitar off Dave Grohl's back. Go to krock.com for details. It is 9 minutes after 9 o'clock.
That's Rage Against the Machine here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Of course, they're playing the Los Angeles Coliseum on July 30th. That's along with Muse and Rise Against. Tickets are still available for that show. I mean, if you're going to see anybody at the Coliseum, that's the lineup to see, right?
That's an unbelievable lineup.
It is. It is. All right. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. We just fell in love with the show a couple of weeks ago. Kevin, I think you were the one who tipped us off to Repo Games.
We had the hosts on, remember?
Mm-hmm. Right. And, right. He was telling us as they were filming it, right. And now it's on the air, and it's just great. And the premise is pretty simple, really. They're real live repo guys go out to take your car back because you defaulted on the payments. However, the twist is, even though they've already got the car on the, you know, they got the car on the tow truck there, you have a chance to not only save the car from being taken away, but it will be paid off. And all you have to do is answer some very simple trivia questions.
That's the crazy part, is you're 3 months behind. Just catching up, you probably wouldn't be able to do.
Right.
You
right.
answer 3 out of 5 questions, and they pay it off.
Pretty sweet deal,
right?
Yeah.
And the
I'm going to stop making payments on my car just in the hope that this guy will come and give me a chance to win it free and clear.
And the questions are so unbelievably easy, and it's unbelievable how stupid these people are. It's really difficult to understand. But here's what happens when somebody shows up and takes your car. They put it on a tow truck or whatever. You think it's being stolen a lot of times.
Sure. Right.
So these are giant guys because they don't always get a nice welcome.
Let's go.
What's going on?
I got a repossession order to take this truck.
Oh, hell no, not this one.
Not this one. They're trying to take mama car.
Drop it.
Drop it away from her. Hell no, this one.
You guys need to move out of the way.
Oh, no, I'm not moving nowhere.
You're on a game show called Repo Games. It's a trivia game show.
Trivia.
You good
okay.
with trivia?
What does that mean?
What does that mean?
I love her reaction, which is not this truck.
No,
because,
hell no.
Because I don't want to lose it, you can't take it. Basically, forget the fact that I haven't paid for it. You can't take it.
So legally, he can and usually would.
Right.
Most of the time, these guys just show up, take your car, and it's gone. You walk out, it's gone.
Right.
But they put it on the tow truck. Then they knock on the door and they ask him questions. Now, the questions, like I said, are very most of them are very simple. And to think that the entire cost of your car will be paid off, well. Here's one, and this is the fifth question, and the guy has 2 right. So if he gets this question right, he keeps his car and they pay it off.
Mm-hmm.
If he gets this question wrong, they take the car.
You can travel from Africa to Asia without ever leaving what country located on both continents?
I slept during geography.
I'm going to say South America.
Do you understand the fate of your vehicle?
I understand the fate.
This answer?
I understand the fate. South America.
South America.
South America.
That answer is incorrect by I don't even know how much.
Now, here's the funny part. These guys really are fans of the people. They really want the people to keep their cars. They're really genuinely nice and concerned about. But every once in a while, when they ask a question about traveling from Africa to Asia, and the guy says South America...
Yeah.
No human being can not mock them.
Like, that's so unbelievably incorrect.
Oh, my God.
South America's a continent.
No. Way to go. Good job.
You want no help either.
Yeah, good.
Now, look, I know you've been mocking the contestants because some of the questions are pretty easy, but they do get harder as you get further into this.
Not much.
But that is not the question. I mean, look, I'm guessing, is it India?
No.
See, I would have gotten it wrong then. I would have said India.
But you know what you wouldn't have said? You wouldn't have said South America.
No. What is the right answer?
Egypt is the right answer.
Egypt is the right answer. See, I would have gotten that one wrong and lost my car. I feel for these people.
I may have two.
But you got it. You live in America. You know where South America
you
is.
You don't feel for the guy that says South America. That guy doesn't deserve a car.
He should be forced to walk with his dumbness.
All right. Now, here's a woman who claims that this is a trick question, and it certainly isn't, but wait till you hear her answer.
What are the names of the Kellogg's Rice Krispies mascots?
That's a tricky question.
Not really. Do you remember seeing the Rice Krispies commercials at all?
I've seen it. I've heard of his name, and it's at the tip of my tongue, and I'm thinking his name is Fred. That's all I know.
So the answer you're going to go with is Fred.
Yes.
Incorrect. The correct answer is Snap, Crackle, and Pop. You know the sound that Rice Krispies makes before the milk?
Yes.
Snap, crackles, pop. It doesn't Fred, does it?
No, it does not.
It doesn't Fred.
Yeah, she lost her
Fred.
Car. He's mocking now. She lost her car.
Aww.
Yeah. Now, this next clip is a little longer, but there's so much gold just littered throughout this whole conversation. It's about a minute long. It's my final clip for today. This is Repo Games. It's on Tuesday nights, 11 p.m. on Spike. You must watch. Listen to this exchange.
What founding father conducted an experiment to prove that lightning was a form of electricity by flying a kite in a thunderstorm?
I was just talking to one of my friends about that one day.
I'm so bummed I missed that conversation.
She asked me who prevented or something about the kite in the thunderstorm. And I said something like, that I want to say Uncle Sam. He's a president. That's not him. Bill Clinton, I think, was one of them. And I swear that's probably the answer.
You're but saying what? That Bill Clinton conducted an experiment to prove that lightning was a form of electricity by flying a kite in a thunderstorm.
I am. I'm going to go with it.
Well, that answer is incorrect.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. So she misses by a lot.
By 250 years. But how could she even have thought it was Bill Clinton? Where did that name even come from?
Well, he goes on to explain the question to her a little bit more in depth because he has the same question about how would you guess Bill Clinton?
Right.
He said founding father,
right.
The kite, the electric. Oh, there's all these clues. Listen to her response to him trying to clarify a bit.
The founding father that we were looking for is Ben Franklin.
Oh, my.
And that experiment actually happened in 1752. So Bill Clinton wasn't even...
Not even mentioned, probably, in 1752.
Not mentioned.
Nope.
Not even mentioned.
Did she have...
No. He wasn't
Uncle
mentioned.
Uncle Sam was a president,
Uncle Sam
too,
was a president.
By the way.
President Clinton was a founding father. Right. Probably they didn't talk about him much in 1752.
Oh,
probably
my not. God.
Did you know this level of stupid existed?
I did. We do take calls from our listeners sometimes.
Oh, yeah. None of them are this bad.
This is incredible.
I love this show so much. It's called.
It's great.
It's called Repo Games. You must watch.
How many times you watched the Tony Awards last night? You got it on a continuous loop in your house?
Of course. Of course. I had friends over. We drank. We ate. We sang. It's awesome.
One of the reasons I bring it up is because one of the criticisms of Broadway the last few years has been they take movies and turn them into stage plays. That's all they do anymore because you need kind of a built-in audience to make any money on Broadway anymore. It's very difficult to get something new up and running that's profitable.
Right.
That's why the success of this Book of Mormon from Matt and Trey, the creators of South Park, that's why it's such a big surprise for people. Won the best musical last night. This is a new work on Broadway. More often than not, you'll see they'll take – well, here's a perfect example. They're making a Rocky musical, okay? They're going back 35 years to a movie that was great and was very popular that everybody knows and loves, but they're turning that into a musical. That's the direction that Broadway's going.
Yeah, and the reason is because people go, oh, I've heard of Rocky.
Right, exactly.
So maybe I'll buy a ticket.
So this is a legit story. We're not making this up. The songwriters plan to bring the musical out in Germany in the fall of 2012 and then bring it to Broadway the following spring, which is, now we're talking about 2013 before this thing hits. But look, Rocky will still be popular then, just like it is today. I can't picture a boxing movie turned into a Broadway musical. But apparently these guys have got Sylvester Stallone's blessing and they're going for it.
Well, yeah, I heard he wasn't going to be in it. Did you hear that?
That was the original report. He had nothing to do with it, right? Hmm. Except to give the permission, right. For the characters that he created.
I also have the Rocky the Musical trailer, if you'd like to hear a little of how they're advertising it and what it might sound like.
Okay.
There you go. Rocky the Musical.
Coming to the Broadway stage in fall of 2013, the story of a man who rises above all the odds, puts it all on the line to go the distance. I am running, and I am training, I'm lifting weights, eating eggs. I am a boxer, but I'm not very good at it, but I'll get better. Sylvester Stallone is Rocky Balboa in Rocky the Musical. The story of a man who's fighting for his life. And for the woman he loves.
Adrian, this fight coming up, I don't think I can win. Adrian, you're not that hot, but I'd still put it in.
From the streets of Philadelphia, Rocky Balboa gets one chance to go the distance and change his life forever.
Apollo, I just took a hit from Apollo. And suddenly my brain will never be the same again.
Sylvester Stallone is Rocky Balboa in Rocky the Musical. Coming to the Broadway stage, fall 2013. Order your tickets today, because as bad as this sounds, it's not as bad as Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark.
And they'll be opening about the same time.
I'm in.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Lick her bare neck than I would her boobs with a sweater over them.
I don't know, so that's a toss-up.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
What is that?
I don't know.
How am I supposed to know what that was?
Are you speaking in tongues? What's happening here?
Just, one more time, Mark. Give me that again.
We don't need to hear it again.
Oh, man. That's a good one.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Lick her bare neck than I would her boobs with a sweater over them.
I don't know. So that's a toss-up.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
But I think the most disturbing part of this is that we no longer hear it.
Our listeners
now are the ones who email and go, guys, what a great moment with Kevin we just had today. And we're like, what?
Yeah, you know what?
I hear him, but we just can't stop every time. It's just, it would be a nine-hour show if we
listeners
just commented on every time Kevin screwed something up.
God bless you all for listening, because we're super, super just not good. But for God's sakes, we have 5 million moments with Kevin. We don't need 5 million of them,
do we? That one was... See, the thing is, they keep topping... Next one tops the one before. It's just unbelievable.
You didn't think that?
I reached the mountaintop there. That's not even like someone screwing up a word. That's just a...
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Lick her bare neck than I would her boobs with a sweater over them.
I don't know. So that's a toss-up.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
If I can interpret, I think I was saying Modest Yahoo thinks that's a toss-up.
What?
That's a joke.
That's the only thing it could have been.
There's just no other way.
You speak some sort of Native American language.
It's either that or
Modest Yahoo.
It sounds like somebody took what I said and reversed it.
It does.
But they didn't.
That's Kevin is the gift that keeps on giving.
Oh,
it's not like you've heard Kevin one day and then you're done. You don't ever need to hear it again. You have to come back the next day just to see what's next.
How dare you?
That's good times. How dare you? How dare you?
Woo. I don't know. That's a mess up.
Yes, it was.
It was worth getting out of bed for this morning.
Time for the Showbiz Beat. Now here's Ralph Graham.
It's Monday morning. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Steven Spielberg and J.J. Abrams have combined their talents for Super 8, which came in at number one this weekend.
Super 8, Super Great.
File. No. You don't get to play your own rim shot. That's the problem with people having their own sound effects. He gives himself cheers and rim
shots.
That's
true, yeah.
Everyone going yay and clapping.
You really can gild the lily.
I don't know what that means, but that's BS.
$37 million made it number one at the box office this weekend. X-Men First Class, $25 million. The Hangover Part 2 came in with $18.5 million, made it number three. Then Kung Fu Panda 2. Pirates of the Caribbean 4 was fifth. Bridesmaids, Judy Moody, and the Not Bummer Summer was seventh. Midnight in Paris, Thor, and Fast 5 running in the top 10 at the box office. I'm still laughing in my head about that thing Kevin just did.
You need to move on.
The Tony Awards were last night. Congratulations to our buddies Matt and Trey from South Park. They won three Tonys last night. Best Original Score for a Musical, Best Musical, and something else they won, too. Some other Tony, yeah.
We're not big in the Tony Awards.
We're really not, but as I look at the list here, a lot of stars now, movie stars and TV stars, have gone on to be performers on Broadway.
In the ranking?
I don't know. I think jobs are hard to come by, even in Hollywood, especially after you lose a certain luster on your career. Like John Larroquette, for example. Guy who was a big star in a show called Night Court many years ago. Then he was on Boston Legal, did some work on that show. Very talented guy.
Won some Emmys.
It hasn't been working that much lately. So now he's on Broadway doing a musical, and it's consistent work. And he won a Tony last night. Ellen Barkin won a Tony last night.
You've done movies and you've done stage work. They are different skills, different kinds of acting, too,
right?
Yes.
As I watched a clip of Daniel Radcliffe singing and dancing on stage last night. He's in a Broadway musical right now as we speak, too. How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. And as I watched him, I said, this guy's a better movie actor than he is a stage actor.
No kidding.
There's just a certain energy and persona that some people have on stage that make them really powerful in that arena. And maybe they wouldn't be as good on television or film, but Daniel Radcliffe doesn't electrify you when you're watching him perform.
Maybe that's where I would shine.
Maybe it is, Kevin. Maybe you need to get out of radio and get up on the stage.
Maybe that's my answer.
Because it's not important to say your lines clearly when you're in the theater, that's for sure. Yeah.
And then there's guys like Neil Patrick Harris who can do literally everything that they want to do and do it brilliantly.
I watched his opening production number last night. He was the host, and he did a big song and dance number called Broadway Isn't Just for Gays Anymore. And it was very funny.
That's awesome.
And it was very entertaining. And then he and Hugh Jackman apparently did a host-off because they've both hosted the show previously. So they did a battle back and forth singing and dancing that also apparently was very entertaining. So
again, Neil Patrick Harris is one of those guys that does it so effortlessly that you look at him and you go, I could do that. It's not true, but right. He makes it look easy.
I know you got hung up on effortless.
On what? I'm sorry.
What a funny word to have so much effort
put
with. Morgan Freeman, congratulations. He picked up the American Film Institute's Life Achievement Award over the weekend. He's only the 39th person to win the award. Clint Eastwood, who directed and starred with him in Unforgiven and Million Dollar Baby, presented him with the award. But there were toasts from the likes of Sidney Poitier, Samuel L. Jackson, Don Cheadle, Matthew Broderick, Helen Mirren, Cuba Gooding Jr., Matthew McConaughey, Forrest Whitaker, Tim Robbins, and Betty White. All were there to pay tribute. I don't know what Betty White and Morgan Freeman had done in the past together, but maybe he gave her a good time sometime in the 60s.
Sure. Oh, there you go.
Maybe they partied.
They saw the 1800s together. That's what they have in common.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Morgan Freeman is not on the list, but Malcolm McDowell is. He is 68 years old. Tim Allen is 58. Rivers Cuomo celebrates his 41st birthday today. Do we have that audio of about Rivers Cuomo? No.
Wish we did.
We had a very funny moment with Kevin regarding Rivers Cuomo.
We had that. Sure hope we have another one to play.
He's 41 years old. Steve-O is 37. Ethan Embry is 33 years old today. Did you ever see That Thing You Do, the Tom Hanks movie about that one-hit wonder band from the 60s?
I think I did.
Ethan Embry plays the bass player in that band, The Wonders, and he's really funny in it. But it's funny, they never bothered to give his character a name.
So he's just bass player?
In the closing credits, if you look, it says Ethan Embry as TB player, which stands for the bass player. They never bothered to give his character a name. Chris Evans, Captain America, he is 30 years old. Ashley Mary Kate Olsen are 25. And Kat Dennings celebrates her 25th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin Abean Show. Tomorrow morning, an all-new program. We have Sharon Osbourne on the program. She's something, isn't she?
Kevin Abean Show.
We A, love her, and B, fear her.
She's way too nice to be a judge on America's Got Talent. I will tell you that. She never wants to say no to anyone because she's just such a sweet person, which puts her in, really ticks off Piers Morgan.
She's sweet until you make fun of her kids. Then she's not so sweet.
Well, that's true. You know. Have somebody start your car for you.
Plus another thanks to that info bean.
How dare you?
Might be the best sesh ever.
Wow.
Might.
Wow.
I mean, there's some gold.
This turns out to be a good week.
In this. And we're going to tell you a story that's going to kick off a phone topic of you mistook a celebrity. You thought it was someone else. You saw somebody. Maybe you went up and said something to them, and it turns out it wasn't them at all.
Okay.
And it's based on a story about beating myself and how unbelievably lame we are.
Now, you won't tell us the story. You're waiting to say it on the air.
Yes.
But just tell me what Bean's reaction to the event happening was.
Oh, I'll tell you that, yeah.
Yeah.
We can't ever... We can't ever tell anybody this story.
So I was made a mental note. Got to tell that story. So that's coming up tomorrow on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.